Our friend Jensen and his lovely wife Danielle are going to have a baby in July. They have not settled on a name yet. We're going to try to get him one step closer to that decision next hour. We help him find a baby name. Also, we have Captain Marvel tickets on the program today. And that first credit card you got in college, how badly did you abuse it? We'll discuss coming up. First, how about some What's Up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
I want to dedicate this round of What's Up with Florida stories to part-time Florida man Robert Kraft, 77 years old, charged with two counts of soliciting prostitution in connection with a Florida spa. He is worth $6.6 billion, you guys. I will never understand why he's going to a strip mall rub and tug for $75. I will never understand that.
Yeah, me either.
Allie, your thoughts?
Power.
But aren't you just as powerful when you have a high-end call girl come to your hotel with discretion?
Not as powerful.
I mean, everybody likes a deal. You know what I mean? Yeah. No matter how much money you have,
he's
still
50.
Flipping coupons, man.
Yeah.
And maybe even a Groupon. Who knows? Maybe it was a Groupon deal. Let's give it up for a Fort Pierce police officer who has been suspended for 20 days. He arrested a couple outside of a Walmart. They were accused of shoplifting, and he searched them and found out that they had stolen jewelry and a baby toy. But things went bad for him because he had a body cam on, and although he arrested them, he allowed them an awful lot of freedom. First, he let them smoke a cigarette before he put them in the patrol car. Then he doesn't handcuff the man. That violates policy. The two are never restrained in the back seat. They start cuddling, then kissing.
Uh-oh.
Then briefly performing sex acts in the back seat of the police car, which he was fine with, by the way. I don't know how they found out about it, but Internal Affairs has completed their investigation, and he has been suspended for 20 days for conduct unbecoming and neglecting his
duty. So weird.
Having sex in the back of a police car when you've just been arrested is kind of a weird look.
Yeah, that's true. That's a weird thing to do. But he's like, you know what? Handcuffs. Don't worry about it. Just get in the back.
I'm all right with this. A fisherman prompted the evacuation of a Florida Taco Bell where he put the catch of the day in the trunk of his car and drove to the fast food restaurant. Here's what happened. He was out fishing with a magnet. Is that a thing that people do?
I don't think
I've
so.
I've never heard of that.
What? Well, that's what he was doing. And I don't know what he was looking for, but I'll tell you what he came up with was a World War II hand grenade, and instead of immediately calling for the bomb squad, he instead put it in the trunk of his car and drove 17 miles to a Taco Bell in Ocala or Osala. Taco Bell is like, hey, leave me out of this, would you? So he drives to this Taco Bell, calls 911 at around 5 p.m. last Saturday, triggering an emergency response. They had to completely evacuate the restaurant, and then they had to come in. The bomb squad had to come and remove the grenade, and sure enough, as they tweeted, it was an authentic WW2, World War II hand grenade that could have gone off. No one was injured in the incident, and the Taco Bell was reopened in about 2 hours. That's just not their fault.
Right.
This is one of the most bizarre stories we've seen in a long time out of Florida. His name is Dale Glenn Massad, and he was a former doctor. He lost his license way back in 1992, but the police were tipped off that he had been practicing medicine without a license.
Excellent.
Now, this guy had a little bit of a sketchy background that included multiple weapons offenses, so they decided the way to handle this was to show up at his house at 4:40 in the morning with the SWAT team.
Ooh.
Okay. They identified themselves, they pounded on his door, they battered it with a ram, they started shooting it with a shotgun, and then realized that the door opened outward. So that's on the police right there. Did a lot of damage to that door that they could have just opened. Then they lit a distraction device inside the front door that emitted a bang and a bright light, after which they started hearing shots from inside the house. It turns out that the man obviously knew somebody was in his house, and he came out guns a-blazing. He started shooting at the officers. No one was injured. Fortunately, he was arrested without further incident. What makes this especially great for me is that the man, Dale Glenn Massad, is the mayor of Port Richey, Florida.
Yes.
No, right.
What?
He is the mayor.
Yes.
And the governor had to step in and take his job away from him because he technically was still the mayor even when he was arrested and even when he was in jail. A few days went by before somebody's like, hey, he's still the mayor. What are we going to do about that?
No.
So the governor stepped in. You just don't expect the mayor, I don't know, for whatever reason, to react that way with guns blazing,
yeah,
right?
That's odd.
Enough. Excuse me. On February 10th, around 2:22 a.m., Officer C. Ross noted a black Ford Mustang convertible stopped in the southbound left-hand turn lane on Santa Barbara Boulevard, an intersection at Southwest 24th Street, and it did a very fast and illegal U-turn in the intersection, was going 60 miles an hour in a 45-mile-an-hour zone. I wish I could play the audio for you, but it doesn't sound very good. But this police officer has so much patience when she comes up to the car, and she's like, look, I'm not even going to write you a ticket. I just want to give you a warning, but you have to give me your driver's license. And he says, no, I'm not going to give you my driver's license. She said, sir, turn over your license. So eventually, begrudgingly, he hands the officer her license. While she's looking at it, he steps on it.
Yes!
And drives away at a high rate of speed from the police officer. Now, once you've given the police officer your driver's license, how far do you think you're going to get?
Jeez.
What kind of a getaway plan is that?
That's like paying for your drive-through food and then just passing up the place where they give you the food. Like, nope, don't need that window. And just,
look, if your plan is that you're going to bolt, like you're not going to talk to the police, do that before you hand over your license.
So stupid.
So they got on the radio, and it didn't take long before they found him at home and arrested him. And now, of course, they have all these other charges that they can add to it. But dumb, dumb, dumb. And finally, and you probably saw this one all over the news last week, this is a guy in Palm Beach, Florida. He had made friends with a man who was a coin collector. And one day he decided he was going to rob his friend, and he did. He stole over 100,000 coins his friend. Hmm. He took a bunch of them to a pawn shop and got about $2,000 for them. And many of the rest he dumped into the Coinstar machines at area grocery stores.
Are you
kidding
me?
A fraction of what they were worth. In fact, he dropped 33 $1,000 each presidential coins through the Coinstar and got $29.36 for them. It was not a great use of a very valuable coin collection, and that's why we ask, what's up with Florida?
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with
We'll take caller 20 right now for a pair of tickets to see Trevor Noah Loud and Clear Tour at Staples Center. That is December 6th. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at AXS.com. But if you're caller 20, you'll win a pair from K-Rock right now. 1-800-520-1087.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Just stop the song.
Very rare we've ever. Have you done this in a while? When have you stopped a song?
I don't think
it's been
ever.
A long time.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's always because of me.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many years have you been working on this show?
29.
Okay.
30.
He's got a problem with numbers. It appears. What is the phone number?
I just gave out the wrong phone number.
Okay.
I said 1-800-520-1087.
You said 1087.
Okay.
And that's not the number.
No, it's still 1067.
But it's changed recently. It has
not.
All sort of getting stuck on it.
It definitely has not changed.
No. I will say this. Bean, about 6 months ago, gave out the wrong number for the Afro
line. You basically gave out the Tom Lakers number once, too.
It was very odd. Yeah. But this
I mean, it's a first.
Yeah. Maybe give it another run.
1-800.
But have the song underneath it. Okay. Go ahead.
I already said all the Trevor Noah.
Go ahead.
Give it
again.
Give it again.
Pair of tickets to see Trevor Noah Loud and Clear Tour at Staples Center December 6th.
All right.
Be caller 20 right now. 1-800-520-1067.
Woohoo! Yay!
Thank you. Look, I was just challenging people.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, if they took the wrong phone number, then that's on them.
They don't deserve to win.
Right. Because they should know the number by now.
Right.
So that was on purpose.
Oh.
That I said the number was 1087. I mean, that happens, right?
No, it doesn't.
We had a comedian in a few days ago named Nate Bergazzi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And his dad was a clown.
And he's hilarious.
He's very hilarious. His Netflix special is The Tennessee Kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very funny.
Yeah.
But I asked him when he came in, the first thing I was like, Dad, really a clown? Is this something that you exaggerate for comedy's sake?
Yeah. Right.
Here's a little bit of that conversation. Is it true that your dad was a clown and is a magician?
Yep.
That's true.
That's all exact true. Yeah, we have my first album was called Yelled At by a Clown, and there's a picture. The cover of the picture is me and my dad, and I was like a five, and he's dressed as a clown. And I grew up, and that's how he was. I mean, grew up, and he was a clown.
Was that his main job?
He was a teacher too. He always like did something like that. But he did a lot of it. I mean, he performed at our birthday parties. Because you have like a clown, like you have to use him. Like
of course,
free.
Did he make balloon animals?
Yep.
Oh my gosh!
Nice.
The balloon animals. I mean, he would do the whole thing. I had a birthday party when I was like 7, and I was like tired of it. I wouldn't even want him to be at the party.
Because he's your dad.
It's your dad.
Yeah.
Yes, and I've seen the tricks. I've watched him not work. Like, he's practicing on me.
This guy was a clown.
Yeah, and also not like a clown on the down low. Like a clown when he had parties, like dad's working.
Yeah. Right.
Like his own parties.
What kind of clowns are on the down low, Jensen? Kind of down low clowns.
Well, I mean, like a high key clown would be like, you know, like, oh, he's always working. Down low is like, oh, I don't mix my home life and my work life.
Oh, so no one knows really. Okay.
Right. It's like a bartender who doesn't drink at home.
Shut up.
And that's a thing?
I mean, sure.
So it was such a weird conversation to have with somebody, and to think that somebody had to grow up with a clown as a dad.
It's not easy.
It's just
any photo of you as a child with a clown is also possibly from a horror movie.
Correct.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
If it's like kind of faded or whatever, and it's just you and a smiling clown, I don't think it's joyful.
Has there ever been a joyful clown movie or TV show?
Bozo.
Fun clown.
I feel like Bozo's very friendly.
Yeah.
And I don't think
never trusted Bozo,
the whole thought of like a scary clown came until like a couple decades ago. People started like, oh, I'm afraid of clowns. Like that became the thing to say.
Maybe.
I don't think people were really afraid of clowns before it became.
Right. But even if you're not afraid of clowns, your dad's a clown. Even if they're not, there's not all that negative connotation to it now.
When my dad would work early, you know, like he would come, my dad sold cars and he would walk in the bedroom and be like, goodbye, see you later, I'm going to work. Like, imagine being asleep and you're like 8 years old and your dad's like, I'm going to work. And you look up and it's just a clown. Just like looking down at you.
Wouldn't you just honk his nose? Like, have a good day, dad.
I think, for the first couple times and then it would get old.
I was the dad, I'd be like, I'm going to work. Wake up. And then I just have like blood coming out of my mouth.
And you'd have that little horn.
Yeah.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Betty, you hold on, please. I want to talk to Polo in Rosemead. Hi.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Yeah. My tenant is a clown. He's a Mexican clown. And he's been my tenant for about 20 years. And I remember the first time we have a pit bull. You know, and he'll scare anybody. And, oh, my God, the first time he ever saw him, it was about maybe 10 years ago, he scared the hell out of him, and he loves humans. And he came in with his, he came in like at 2 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, my brother was walking him outside, and he had his makeup all like, you know, like, there was like a drunken night, you know, a woman at drunken night, just all bad makeup and everything, and, you know, he had to start taking it off, but he had taken it completely off, you know? And the dog, just ever since, he treats him like, oh, my God, he wants to kill him, you know?
Oh, I thought you were saying the pit bull was scared of the clown, no?
Oh, the pit bull is very scared of the clown, but now he wants to kill him.
He wants to kill him out of defense mechanism.
Anybody like that. And he's scared of the dog now.
Wow.
You know? But he's a Mexican clown. He's like...
What is the difference between a Mexican clown and, let's say, a white clown?
Well, one's a clown, one's a payaso.
Exactly.
See,
exactly.
As for that.
Yeah, you got the horns. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but I'm telling you, though, there's so much more to it that I even never realized, you know? It's like, you know, he tells jokes. Well, he has a little trouble because, you know, doesn't speak much English.
Right.
But he was one of the first clowns in Santa Monica, and there's a lot of competition out there now, you know?
Is there?
A lot of rivalries, you know, it's like almost gang warfare out there.
Well, there's no clown rivalry gang warfare.
He's saying there's a clown gang.
I'm telling you, they fight for spots out there.
Yeah, like Third Street Promenade, absolutely. You want that ideal spot.
You'll throw down with another clown?
100%.
I know a clown who got shanked over his spot.
Really?
Yeah, he used to hang out Third Street, and he was like, you know, they were fighting over territory, and one day a guy just pulled out a glass shank.
But they'd have conventions where you would learn how to make stuff, you know, like balloon animals and stuff like that. And
can you imagine going to those conventions? Oh. What a group of just crazy people that would be.
I mean.
That's a dream.
Polo.
And he said he would make them laugh. Imagine trying to make a clown laugh. Oh, my God.
No. I don't want to imagine it, Polo. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067, I believe, is the number. We'll take your calls next. All right, just before Lovely the Band, let's take one phone call. It's amazing how many calls we have.
It's terrifying.
On the topic of your dad was a clown. Who knew that was a thing? Dave is calling us from Glendale. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
All right, yeah, my dad was a clown. He bought a merry-go-round in the 50s and drove it out from Philadelphia to here because of nicer weather so he could work year-round. And his name was Bumbo. I'm sure many of your listeners had him as a clown.
Dave, Bumbo was like
he's famous,
renowned.
You have
clown.
A famous dad.
Oh,
clown.
Yeah, he was in the Guinness Book of World Records. Unfortunately, the oldest male stripper was on the opposite page.
Well, that's a pretty good
Wait,
clown.
Wait, what was he? What record did he have? The oldest clown?
Oh, the oldest working clown. Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Can you imagine kids' parties are like, did you get a clown? Yeah. Which one? The oldest one. Fantastic.
I got Bumbo.
Yeah, well, you know, you get what you get. But anyway, he came home one time because he had high standards, the clown. He came home one time and he would not pee in it when he was out doing parties because he didn't want the kids to see him going to the bathroom because then he's a man and not a clown. You know?
Is there no restroom in this story?
No, he scared the kids will walk in and be like, the clown's peeing.
Is there no lock in the
restroom?
Exactly. Okay, go ahead.
I think there's a scene in Shakes that does that. But anyway, so he came home one time after, you know, holding it for 4 or 5 hours. And our job as kids is we'd have to run out and meet him and, you know, help him pack up the merry-go-round and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And he got out of the cab of his truck and just stood there and kind of did the clown cry where he went, and he's just... He just ran out of the bottom of his closet.
Dave, that is
the most.
I know.
That's the most touching story I've ever heard.
Oh, Dave, that's the sweetest clown story.
So beautiful.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Oh boy.
We loved him. He's a good man.
We love him too.
Bumbo the clown.
He
you guys.
Was yeah. He was like a OC hero.
Who knew we'd get a famous one?
Exactly. The other thing is, he used to lecture me because I'm a professional drummer. He used to lecture me about, you know, you better have a backup plan because you can't be a drummer for a living. I said, Dad, you're a freaking clown.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's pretty tough.
It's hard to be the standard.
All right, thank you for the call, Dave. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067.
Rest in peace, Bumbo.
We'll take your calls next. I think it's normal for everybody to kind of assume that the way you were raised is the way everybody else was raised until you hear the story of a guy whose dad is a clown and a famous one even.
Yeah, and then also his dad, it appeared, did a bit where he held in his pee.
It wasn't a bit from what I could
tell. Well, then he clown laughed, which does seem like it was part of a setup.
Sure.
I was thinking about that during the break. Because like if he did the clown laugh, he's kind of doing a bit.
I agree.
Watch me pee my pants, kids.
I agree. Yeah. So, strange upbringing. Let's go to James in Anaheim. I was afraid maybe we wouldn't get enough calls, but we have plenty.
Yeah.
James, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
It wasn't my father. It was my grandparents and my uncle.
Oh.
And my uncle is, my grandparents owned a circus for 30 years.
Wow.
And my uncle is almost 60 years old, and he is still a clown. He's been a clown since he was about 8 years old.
Did you ever think, James, did you ever think you wanted to get into the family trade?
Oh, I've done it several times.
You have?
Done it several times. I've traveled across the United States probably 8 or 9 times with my uncle and done specialty shows for corporations.
Wow.
And, we've had, my uncle's made a living out of it. He also is a circus collector and has one of the largest circus memorabilia collections in the world.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that room cool or is it scary?
Oh, it's a whole house. I mean, it's
a whole house of clown crap.
Circus
stuff. It's pretty amazing.
That's awesome.
James, unbelievable. I got to say, I'm happy you sound pretty calm and normal for a guy raised around clown and circus memorabilia.
I haven't killed anybody yet.
Oh, good to hear.
I like that he says yet.
Yeah,
that's good.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Oh, thanks, James.
Thank you, James. Let's go to Betty. You don't think about this necessarily being a thing. Betty in Long Beach. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you. What do you do with clowns?
Well, I am an agent for actually a few different musical acts, but one of them happens to be sort of a Elvis clown kind of thing.
Elvis Presley clown.
Like a mashup.
Yes, his name is Clownvis Presley.
Well, could have done better. The name. I don't know what the name is.
Doesn't seem like they put a lot of work into that.
Seems like maybe your first job as an agent could be to get a more creative name. But what? So this Clownvis, he does clown act, but then also does songs from Elvis?
Not quite. So actually, just only one or two of his songs are Elvis Presley covers. Mm-hmm. It's mostly parody songs. So think of like Weird Al kind of stuff.
He even covers
like the Reading Rainbow song, if you want to be completely random.
I mean, take a look. It's in a book.
I'm trying to think, is there a better LeVar Burton name that they... I mean, I feel like it's weird he picked Elvis, but only does two Elvis songs and dresses like Elvis.
I would like Elvis Clown to introduce a band at Weenie Roast.
Oh.
Right?
He has done hosting plenty of times. His most recent LA appearance was actually here at the Regent for the Eric Andre birthday bash.
Oh,
well, this is all making perfect sense.
Now it makes sense.
Yes, now that you bring him in, I'm all in.
Right. Okay. Now I'm fully in. I was on the fence, but now I think I understand Clownvis a little better.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. He is a professional. I know it sounds cheesy, but just look him up. You'll see it's insane. It's side stitch funny.
All right. Betty's an agent.
And there's some magic. There's some magic.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's a lot of magic, to be honest. Yeah. Wow.
Let's not be ridiculous. Yeah, all right. Please. Michelle in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Can I just interrupt real quick? Yeah. I just Googled Clownvis Presley, and the first, YouTube video that comes up is "Don't be a bitch or you won't get stuff for Christmas" by Clownvis. What's happening?
That's the name of one of his.
Oh my gosh, guys! Clownvis went to the gathering of the Juggalos
in 2018. We need Clownvis.
We need Clownvis.
Wait, I think we should get involved with Clownvis
for real.
For real.
Okay.
All right, let's work on that behind the scenes.
He was on America's Got Talent too.
Oh, he has a Twitter. It's just Clownvis.
All right, let's take one more call. Let's make it Michelle in Los Angeles. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, guys. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
I'm not sure I can follow Clownvis very well.
None of us can.
Who could, though?
Yeah. True.
Exactly. So my mom, when I was about 12, decided to take a class from Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus.
Okay, this is the first time now that we've heard of a female, a mom doing this.
Yes. So mom decided to be a hobby clown. And so she took this class on how to do the makeup and how to do the balloons and all that stuff. And when she was done with it, she decided to hire herself out to sort of, local church things and local school things. And she decided to dress me and my two younger brothers up as mini clowns with her.
Oh,
wow.
So smart.
Is there a lot of call for clowns in the church community for their events?
You know, they do birthday parties and socials and things like that. So, hey, you know, there's a clown and a little clown family. And she made all of her outfits match, and she made them out of, like, purple curtain material. I think I'm still scarred.
I was just going to ask.
Yeah. Michelle.
Is it a good memory or a bad memory? Because it seems like that wasn't fun.
It wasn't fun because I knew all the people that we were performing for. They were my classmates.
Oh, no. Did they just mock you?
Yes. Yes, there was a lot of mocking.
That sucks.
And to, just as a little aside, my mom was a tenured university professor in her real life. Mm-hmm. So this was just something she decided to do on the side.
Of course she was tenured. You don't become a clown if you're not tenured.
No, you have to have that kind of security in your life. Also, you showed those bullies because you and your clown family went and burned down all their houses. Right, Michelle?
I don't want to incriminate myself.
Okay, fair enough. Right.
No worries. No worries. Thank you for calling.
Clown this!
Right?
Yes.
Did he reach out to us on Twitter?
He sure did. At Kevin and Bean, heard the mention. Down to chat with y'all anytime. Love the show. DM me. We will be sliding into your DMs, Clownvis. Don't you worry.
I'm excited that we have pretty much a new member of the team.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
I'm going to say, Jensen, Kevin and Clownvis.
I know. That does sound right.
it kind of works.
It does work.
But it's kind of two of the same, so I'm...
Right.
I don't know.
Two clowns?
Anthony Jeselnik is coming up next. First, Allie is here with What's Happening.
Can I also say, who's a better agent than Betty?
Yeah, she wins.
Right?
Yeah. Little did she know she'd be creating an icon just by one call.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do you think other clown agents are like,
I missed my opportunity.
Betty did it again.
Like Betty's calling them right now going, sucker!
I have Chloracy. It's my clown Morrissey.
I hate you right now.
My mom Chlorissy died of Chlorissy.
I want Chlorissy to exist so badly.
Chlorissy is what you use when you're trying to kidnap someone. Like, I just brought me some Chlorissy. Knocked
some
right
rope,
out.
Some rope and some Chlorissy.
This is very disturbing.
I have a serious question.
All right?
Yeah. How did Jensen pull this off?
Not sure.
I don't know.
Listen, I ask it every morning.
What kind of black magic are you working?
I ask it every morning.
I have a serious question as well to our guest, Danielle Fishel, here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Jensen's been out of town for a while.
Yeah.
And then he comes back, and you're pregnant. I'm trying to do the
wait
math
a minute.
Here.
I don't think it,
do you have something to
way.
Tell him? No. Because
no, it didn't actually work out that
way. It didn't happen in the
way.
Last 3 days?
No. I have been very pregnant now for a long time, yeah. It feels
okay,
like.
I'm trying to do the math in my head, and I wasn't sure how.
Yeah, we're not good at math on this show, but let's just say she's halfway there, Bean.
That's exactly.
We're almost done. We're
yeah. What do you do? Is it July?
July, yeah.
Whoa, it's going to be so hot for you.
We've now passed the, I know. But at least I get to miss August and September.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
all right. That's a good way to look at it.
I'm really great at finding the silver linings.
All right.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Look, most people who have kids are excited about it, but you two are just bubbling over.
We're very
with
excited
over having this kid.
We are.
Jensen has been teasing us by not telling us what names you guys are close to, but that's I understand right. You have narrowed it down for your son.
Yeah, we have. We've narrowed it down. I mean, there's been a couple of favorites for a while. There's one that's really strongly in the lead.
Yeah. But we could be swayed at any point.
Absolutely.
I mean, with you leaving the show, Bean's right up on the list now.
Now Clyde. It is, for
how
sure.
How about Clyde Karp?
Clyde Karp's
I actually like Clyde.
Clyde is a nice
I
name.
Like it.
It's on
I
the
was
list.
Throwing that out as a joke.
It's on the list now.
It's on the list, yeah.
So, Danielle, I know you're working, obviously, and we've got some stuff to talk about that you're going to be doing, some directing for the Disney Channel, but let's get to know you a little bit first here.
Okay.
First of all, Jensen tells us that you guys went to high school together but weren't tight back then.
That's correct, yeah. We went to high school together. We were
which high school?
Calabasas High.
Oh.
Which now Calabasas is so famous.
Yeah,
no one used to know what Calabasas was.
Right. Yeah.
And now everyone does.
Did you know he existed?
I did. Well, he did the morning announcements his senior year. So everyone knew Jensen
nerd.
Existed.
Did he rap them?
No, I was not hiding once. That I was a rapper. No, that was what? it wasn't cool to be a rapper back then.
Yeah, he waited for it to be cool. For sure. Yeah.
I was like, I see the opening now for this Jewish nerd to start rapping.
No,
I'm in.
Help me out with the Boy Meets World timeline. Were you already doing that show when you were in high school?
Yeah.
So you were going to high school and you were already famous. So for a little Jewish nerd like Jensen, you would have been untouchable to him at that time.
Well, I mean, Jensen's never been impressed by celebrity, really. So I don't think he was like impressed at all. But yeah, I mean, we knew each other's names. We would say hi in the hall.
I think I was more like, why did she get to come to school 3 months?
Yeah.
Like, that seems totally unfair.
I
to
was
all
there
of us.
1 week out of every month. And yeah. then. Wow.
Is that
time,
true?
Yeah. I was there because we worked 3 weeks and then we'd get a week off. And I, instead of staying on set and doing school the way a lot of child actors do, I always wanted to go back to school.
Why?
I just loved it. But not because I was smart, because I loved the social aspect
of it. The normalcy
of it. The normalcy of it. And like, I went to every football game and I went to every dance. And, you know,
That's
my friends
awesome.
Were all cheerleaders. And so I just like loved being at school.
Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that you've developed into such a great human being as an adult where other child actors really run into problems?
I mean, I definitely think the normalcy of my life that I maintained and that my parents forced me to maintain helped a lot. I mean, I would work all day on Boy Meets World and then come home and my mom would be like, there's dog poop in the backyard. Go get that because that's
you were
one
like,
of your chores.
Mom, TV.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm so tired. I was working all day. And she was like, well, I guess you're going to have to quit your job then because there's dog poop out there.
Like, I define TGI Fridays. I'm not cleaning these plates. Like an awful kid. But it's true. We talk about it all the time. I mean, Amanda Bynes just went back into rehab this last week, and that's such a devastating story of someone who can't get on her feet. And fame doesn't help anything when you have that kind of mental illness.
I've always said if I was famous young, I would be in prison or dead. I mean, I think it would have destroyed me.
It has that potential.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, luckily my parents were so good about making sure that, you know, I wasn't in it because they wanted me to be in it. I was in it because I wanted to be in it.
They actually didn't want you in it, kind of.
No, they really didn't.
Yeah.
And that makes a huge difference because you're not then a kid supporting an entire family.
Yeah.
I was just able to be a kid.
You were born in Arizona. How old were you when you moved to California?
Oh, 3 weeks.
Okay. All right. So you spent your whole life.
Favorite part about
what was your time? What was your time in Arizona like?
People ask me that all the time. They're like, let's talk about Mesa. And I'm like, no, please. Let's absolutely not. I don't know why that's even in my Wikipedia. I was born 3 weeks before my dad graduated college. So I was literally just there for him to finish. And then they moved. My parents are both native Californians, so.
Oh, that's we're avoiding somebody by going to Mesa to have you.
She didn't say they went to Mesa to have her.
It sounded like it. All right. It sounds like they were in the state for 15 minutes.
Basically.
So what was it that sparked your early interest in show business?
It's not actually a super cool story, but there was a girl who was just a couple years older than me who I thought was so pretty. And she came to school one day and she was like, oh, guess what? I got an agent. I'm going to be a model. And I was like, oh, I want to do that too. And I went home and I was like, Mom, I want to be a model. And my mom very kindly was like, you're too short. That's models are not 4 feet tall.
Now go clean up the poo.
I know. My mom's so nice, but she's also a realist.
A lot of poo in this house. Yeah.
And I just
How many
accepted
dogs
it.
Did you have, Danielle?
55.
Yeah. Were your feelings hurt at first?
No, I was just like, oh, that makes sense. Okay. Great. I didn't know. I just needed the information. So I went back to school. I was like, oh, it's not in the cards for me. And she said to me, well, my agent's also going to put me on TV. I don't think you have to be tall to be on TV. And I was like, done. And that's what sold me. So,
and that's it. And then we went on one audition and got it.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. One audition?
You're kidding.
Yeah. I told my parents for like a year I wanted to do this. And they were like, no, they're all weirdos. Everyone in entertainment's a weirdo. Please don't do this. And I was, 10 and continued to fight about it. And my parents, literally the discussion was, let's let her try it. She won't go anywhere. And then we can say we let her do it.
You honestly think that they thought there was no chance.
They told me that.
And that's why they said yes.
Yeah.
That's what they told me. They said, look, she's going to hate it. Who likes auditions and all the traffic and it's after school and what are the odds she's going to book anything?
What?
But at least if we let her try it, we can say.
Get out of her system.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can tell that you love them, but. They seem like dicks.
No, she said her mom was a realist.
They are, for sure.
Putting it out there.
And you know what? That's exactly why I am the way I am.
We've talked about it on and off air about Danielle's insane media ideas that she. We've talked about this. You guys know that she doesn't care about television.
Right.
She's been on it her whole life, so she's jaded towards it.
Right.
Doesn't care about any media. But the best part about her is. Every once in a while, I'll curate a movie for her to see. Like, I'll make sure because I only get a small chance to go see one.
Like once a year?
Barely that.
Okay.
But I have to pick good ones. I have to make sure I do my research. And then we'll go to them. And she'll, it's an hour and a half. She goes, I love this movie. I go, great. She goes, we could leave whenever you want.
Anytime.
I go, what are you talking about? It's not over yet. And she goes, it's fine. I love what I've seen.
How far into it? How do you do that? How far into it?
Halfway.
So she just, you just know, like, probably what's going to happen?
Oh, no, I just think, I'm sure it'll all work out. It'll be fine.
What, you in a rush to go someplace? Who does that?
The other thing is, we watch television shows every once in a while, and we'll watch them. She goes, oh, this is really good. I go, yeah, Handmaid's Tale, this is really good. And then she goes, yeah, I loved it. I don't need to see it ever again.
Yeah,
I go, what are you talking about? She goes, I go, we're only 3 episodes in. She goes, I loved it. It's great. Don't need to see it anymore.
So you literally don't need to end that season?
No, not at all.
Well, you're a weirdo.
I know.
You're a strange person. What do you do with all your time?
Silence. Silence. I love silence.
Jensen has said that.
Oh,
he loves how much you are just very fond of being quiet.
Yeah. He was out of town for a few days, and then he came home, and instantly there was Instagram stories being played, and I just, listened to it for about 2 minutes, and then I went, babe, please. It's been 5 days of silence, and now already it started.
I really enjoyed the time without you.
I know. I just missed the silence already.
Yeah. You're going to end up living in a convent or something.
Oh, don't say that. Don't give her any ideas.
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right, we have to take a very quick break. Our special guest in studio is Danielle Fishel. And I'm sorry, Jensen, I forgot. What's her relation to you?
She's my wife.
That's right. And she has directed a show called City to the Max that airs this Fridays on the Disney Channel, of all places. And it's not the first time she's directed, but we'll talk about that and so much more with the happy couple when we return right after this on KIPP. I want the end of that song to be the first song that your baby hears in July. Our guest is Danielle Fishel here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Mrs. Jensen Karp. We are so delighted to have you in the studio for the first time, Danielle.
I
don't know. By the way, I don't know why in the last 30 years we haven't had you on.
I have been in studio. Yeah, no.
Oh, you have? Okay,
I've
good.
Been here. Yeah, I'm glad it was memorable for you. And also, it'll be very memorable for everyone today, considering I got to come on right after the 9/11 announcement.
Well, you're the palate cleanser. Look, people are sad because I announced I'm leaving the show at the end of the year, but then they go, wait, Topanga's there?
Right.
Who cares
sure
about Bean?
Doing.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
She's the Farrah Fawcett of your Michael Jackson death.
Exactly. I mentioned before the break that we're going to be talking about your directing of the Disney Channel show City of the Max, but I do need to talk a little Boy Meets World because I feel like we haven't had that talk in a long time. Was it a...
This is the talk?
Yeah. A fantastic experience for you all those years.
I mean, honestly, no, not for the entirety of the 7 years. There were highs and lows toward the end of it. Anything you do for a very long time, as I'm sure you guys can relate to with 30 years.
Your memory goes, you don't remember the guests that were on your show.
Yeah. That's how they live with it.
Well, no, it's just, you know, it's day in and day out of the same people who you love, but also family gets on your nerves.
Of course.
And you get to a point, too, where you're like, am I feeling challenged by this anymore? Am I, you know, thrilled to be here every day? Toward the end, we were all a little like, we're ready to move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet, we were sad to say goodbye. And it was a bittersweet thing.
Sure.
But overall...
Did you ever say, no one look at me?
No. No. I probably thought it, but I never would have said it. No, that never happened. But I mean, overall, it was an incredible experience. And it's one of the reasons I actually wanted to direct is because I knew that my experience as a child actor was so unique, that I was surrounded by so many great people, and that I was in such a warm, kind of safe environment. And unfortunately, there just aren't that many warm, safe environments in entertainment for children.
Really?
And
if,
it's, you know, adults have a lot of baggage, and we come into jobs, and we have egos, and we have, you know, bad personality traits like yelling or thinking it's okay to just physically move somebody else, especially a child. And so when you're working with kids, you have to take into consideration the fact that this is their like 101. This is their very first job. Everything they take from this experience, they will take with them for the rest of their life into everything else they do. And if I can be one of the first people who works with them and makes them feel good and safe and comfortable and expressive and like mini creators that they are, hopefully that just kind of paves the way for the rest of their career.
How do you transition from actress to director?
Well, the great thing is I love telling people what to do.
Okay.
I didn't get to do that as much as an actor.
Okay.
I was like, how do I tell more people what to do?
I have no idea what that feels like.
Exactly. But I know the best way to do everything, don't I, darling?
You do.
Is City of the Max a new show?
It is, yeah. It premiered a couple of weeks ago on Disney. It's Friday nights at 8:30, which is exactly the time slot Boy Meets World had, so that's pretty...
That's nice.
That's cool. It's a great show. It's really grounded. It's really... it's not like over the top slapstick humor. It's very funny, but it's also very grounded, and it takes place in the two decades. It takes place in the 90s and it takes place in modern day. There's flashbacks, and it's very fun. Caroline Ray is on the show, and you know, she was obviously from Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Right.
So
do you love directing?
I love it.
Is it what you thought it was going to be? Yeah.
Yeah, it's even more than I thought it was going to be. Yeah, it's you know, first of all, the great thing is I still have so much to learn, which I love that feeling. I love learning. And I have been directing for a very short amount of time, but the people that I work with, the crews that I work with, have been doing what they do for a very long time.
A lot of them have worked on your sets when you were a kid.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm working with some of the people from crews that were on Boy Meets World in the 90s.
You think they're talking about you? Like, what's she doing?
Probably.
I don't know, what's happening here?
We're like, her again, huh? And so I just get to go in every single day like a sponge. You know, I'm good with working with actors. I'm great with, you know, blocking and talking and giving good notes and stuff like that. But I obviously still have a lot to learn as far as camera goes. And so every time I walk into a new set and I get to meet the crew, one of the first things I say is like, you've been doing what you do for a lot longer than I have been doing what I do. And even though all the final decisions fall down on me, this is a collaborative effort and I can't do it without you.
Very smart.
And so I am just soaking up as much information as I possibly can. And it's just a great way to go to work every day.
It's like the opposite of what happened here for me is that Kevin Bean never gave me any advice. Just let me kind of follow the wolves.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
that's how we roll.
Yeah.
The show is called Sydney to the Max, by the way. It airs Fridays at 8:30 on the Disney Channel. How has married life been with Jensen?
I mean, amazing.
Oh,
I have,
really?
Yeah.
We've been great.
He seems like he's high maintenance. He seems...
I don't feel to be high maintenance. Am really? I high maintenance?
I mean, I don't know. He has so many interests. So many interests.
None of them are silence.
You don't say that as a positive.
Well,
I don't feel.
It is a positive okay. in the sense that he makes me get out of my comfort zone, which is great.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want to spend all day looking at sneakers.
or non-open DVDs.
That is one of, right, that is one, and then two of the interests. Yeah. There are 75 more. I appreciate about him, and also it makes me insane that he looks at everything. Everything is with the same amount of wonder and enthusiasm.
Right.
And so, like, we once ran into someone at a Clippers game.
Rapper Murs.
And yeah. I'm, with all sincerity, he goes, "Wow, Murs is a Clippers fan. That's thrilling." Thrilling!
What a dork!
What a massive dork! Has he dragged you into his love for the WWE yet?
I mean, I tolerate it, and mm-hmm. I enjoy it to a certain extent. I am mm-hmm. not wanting to watch every single match.
Which I don't really watch that much either.
No. But yeah. that's also the
Jensen
thing.
Jensen is a wrestling head.
He yeah. for sure is.
I yeah. was out of it until Jensen took me to a bar where they were wrestling in a bar in Atlanta. I was like, I'm into this yeah. now. This is awesome.
Well, no, Danielle's very great. Sweet. She'll go to it and she'll go, that was really, really fun. And then I'll go, well, there is one in 2 weeks. She goes, no, I'm not going to another one.
Yeah, no, it's 2 weeks. How about 6 months from now? Maybe I'll think this was a good idea.
Yeah, she's right.
But so, yeah, I enjoy it. I actually do enjoy that hobby.
Well, I'm happy to say that Jensen talks about you all the time when he comes in here, and always glowingly.
I do.
He's so, so happy.
Sometimes too much.
I could yeah. not be prouder of
We're
her.
We're so happy for both of you yeah, kids.
She's
it's
an
so
incredible
awesome.
Human.
Especially the story you told about how you knew each other and then kind of drifted apart for a little bit and then not only ended up, becoming friends again, but marrying. It's a yeah. wonderful story. So yeah. I'm so happy for you both.
Thank you.
The Disney show is called Sydney to the Max. Danielle directs it this Friday night at 8:30 on the Disney Channel. So great to have you back again because
yes.
you've been here before.
Something just like this.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. I think that song is over.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:06.
You guys,
Bean.
It's Monday,
right?
Time to hear some great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news! That if one of the LA channels in the very competitive news marketplace.
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yep.
So if Channel 7 said, hey guys, tune in to us at 11 tonight, you'll hear 30 minutes of great news.
Yes, I do.
I got news for you.
Nope. Yeah.
Nope.
Really?
No, absolutely not.
Because if it bleeds, it leads?
Absolutely. Yeah.
They would get destroyed.
Destroyed.
What if they did it in a non-news hour? Like, it's not up against the news.
They have tried that.
Really?
They've tried it on different channels. A woman named Michaela that I used to work with at KTLA mm-hmm. did a show on CNN that was essentially all inspiring, wonderful stories. Mm-hmm. It's gone now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because people say they want it. They're not going to tune in for it.
Hey, way to bring us down, Bean.
Yeah.
No, I didn't bring us down. I was the one who was suggesting it would be a great idea. Because there is a way to cover. Like, if there's a fire, maybe the way it's written is not that the fire burned the house down, but the great news is that everyone got out and everyone survived. You know what I mean? I mean, there's
Boring.
A way to... Okay. Well, we do our best at least once a week to put a positive spin on the news, because you don't always find that everywhere.
Mine today is Chef Jose Andres.
Amazing man.
I was not very familiar with him until I brought him up after seeing him in Washington, D.C., serving some of the federal employees. And Christine said the exact same thing. Amazing man. He's a Spanish-American, and he has a bunch of restaurants in D.C., in Los Angeles, in Vegas, all over the place. And he started the World Central Kitchen. And I started looking into him after seeing him feeding the federal workers. And apparently He was in Puerto Rico in the wake of Hurricane Maria.
That's what I heard about him is, yeah, he went down to Puerto Rico and just fed thousands of people.
He was in Houston, Texas, following Hurricane Harvey. He was in Southern California, the Ventura County, during the December 2017 Thomas Fire. I mean, in every single one of these places, he was in South Carolina in the aftermath of Hurricane Florence. Every single one of these places, he goes.
Yeah.
Himself.
Yeah, he doesn't send people. It's him.
And he brings some people with him, and he makes whatever food he can, but he makes it as good as he can.
Yeah.
So in Puerto Rico, for example, they didn't have any electricity or anything for a long time, so they couldn't have hot food. So he said, let's make hot food, and we'll feed. I think they fed 3 million meals.
Unbelievable. Jeez.
So
I just going to make money like that.
Right. So then he just hit my radar again when he was in Washington, D.C. during the shutdown. And he had a restaurant right there in Washington, D.C. that would serve people who were federal employees that weren't getting a paycheck. And this is the news audio from that.
800,000 federal workers have already missed a second paycheck and have gone without pay for more than a month. CBS News correspondent David Begno is at Chef's Jose Andres' World Central Kitchen in Washington, where they're helping provide to furloughed federal employees.
So this interview was done immediately after Donald Trump said, okay, let's open the government again for, 3 weeks? That's what this question is about from the reporter.
Now that the president has said that he wants to open up the government, do you plan to close your kitchens?
This location, number one, World Central Kitchen, we're going to be here at least until next Friday. We're going to wait until the federal employees receive their paychecks. We're going to hear from them. And hopefully by next week, all will receive their paycheck in their bank accounts. And then we'll decide. But at the very least, until next Friday.
I mean, that guy's amazing.
Yeah, he's an angel.
He just follows tragedies around the world and tries to make it better.
Yep.
And that's why he's my great news.
That is great news. Allie, this story is just for you.
Oh, no.
You know how the news loves when white kids go missing? I mean, that is just, there's a whole industry in this country.
Oh, and if it's a good-looking white girl?
Yeah. Well, that's the best.
For sure.
I mean, you lose 10 African-Americans before one gets on the news. And little white kids, man, they just love to follow them. And this story I was captivated with because we've had some real cold weather in parts of the country this year. And last Tuesday, a little 3-year-old boy named Casey Hathaway crawled away from his house somehow. And it was freezing or below freezing at night. And obviously hundreds of people mobilized to try to find him. And he didn't turn up on Tuesday night. And he didn't turn up on Wednesday. And he didn't turn up on Wednesday night. And people were starting to really think the worst of what happened to this little boy. Thursday afternoon, they found him. He was okay. He was caught in a tangle of vines and thorns just about a half a mile from where he went missing. A lady who was out walking her dog heard the noise, ran over, found him, called 911. They took him to the hospital. Here's the reason I do this story on Great News. Allie, do you know this story?
I do.
He told his aunt that he had been hanging out with a bear. He said he hung out with a bear for 2 days while he was gone. Here's what she posted, his aunt posted on her Facebook page. God sent him a friend to keep him safe. God is a good God, and miracles do happen. Now, I don't want to burst anyone's bubble here.
Yeah.
But what? Did Casey hang out with a bear? Did the bear protect Casey? Is that why little Casey, little white boy Casey, is alive today?
I'm going to say, in light of this story, it absolutely doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. If the kid's happy, if the mom's happy, the kid's happy, it's great news.
No, it's nothing but great news that the kid was found. I mean, it's really a miracle after three nights being out there in freezing cold weather. But I really like to believe that there was a bear out there that was keeping him warm,
and he was just cuddled up next to a bear, and the bear knew that it was too cold for him.
But there were a bunch of people looking for him. They wouldn't have seen a bear.
Well, no, they didn't find the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
The bear probably took him into the cave at night, and then during the day, he brought him back. That's what I'd like
to
believe.
Allie's running with this story.
I've got a whole backstory.
I'm running with it, too. I so want it to be true because it's I don't know anything about this kid or what he knows about bears, but it's just a crazy thing for him to say is that a bear had kept him company. I want to believe, you guys.
Believe.
I want to believe.
Do it.
I agree.
And that's my great news.
All right, my great news, shockingly, has to do with Twitter, where nothing really good has happened on Twitter in the last few years. But a man had criticized actor and comedian Patton Oswalt, and they had kind of gone back and forth with this. Patton is very, very vocal about his political leanings, and the guy didn't agree with something. They went back and forth, blah, blah, blah. So then Patton did what sometimes people do. If you're, you know, into it with someone, you kind of glance at their profile.
Just
and
go
then
check
like,
out their page and see what they're about.
Yeah. Usually you're like, oh, all right.
That's their first tweet ever.
Exactly. A little concerning. But after he was criticized, he went and looked at his page and then he posted, oh, man, this dude just attacked me on Twitter and I joked back. But then I looked at his timeline and he's in a lot of trouble health-wise. I'd be pissed off, too. He's been dealt some S cards. Let's deal him some good ones. Click and donate just like I'm about to. And he put up this guy's GoFundMe account. Turns out this guy, Michael Beatty, had been in the hospital for 2 weeks with sepsis.
Oh,
he had
man,
pretty much
deadly, right?
Yeah, he pretty much almost died. He apparently was in critical condition, coded twice in the ER, came back, he said, because he was stubborn.
Then
that's
why
what his
is he
wife
spending
said.
Whatever time he has left trolling Patton Oswalt on the internet?
It's a great question. A great question. But what happened was he had a $5,000 GoFundMe. That's what he wanted to raise. Would you like to know what Patton Oswalt? He donated, by the way, $2,000.
Yes, please.
And what followers of Patton have donated so far out of a goal of $5,000.
Yep.
We are up to $46,255.
Wow. So it pays to be a dick on the internet.
I don't think that's what we're saying.
No.
Because
sorry.
This man has then kind of turned around and he said, you've humbled me to the point where I can barely compose my words. You've caused me to take pause and reflect on how harmful words from my mouth could result in such an outpouring. Thank you for this, and I will pass this on to my cousin who needs help, a Cascade. So he's now going to pay
amazing.
It forward with the money that he doesn't need as well. So, which, of course, then opened Patton up to a lot of people just saying crappy things, trying to get his attention, like
God,
which
yeah.
is just ridiculous. A lot done in a joking manner, but still. I mean, that's going to kind of be the thing, right? Patrick, you're a D. Patrick? What? Patton. So that's just an interesting thing. So maybe this guy is now changed, seeing that, you know what, sometimes your words hurt. But also, if we take a minute and realize we're not all that different. So calm your T's, everybody, is what I'm saying. And that's my great news.
Look is what I'm saying.
I know what you're about to try to do here. You're about to try to embarrass me with some kid who plays the ukulele better than I do.
Why would I do that?
But here's what I'm going to tell you. I can play like that. I just don't feel the need to get the applause and go on Ellen and have everybody, look how good he is at the ukulele. For me, it's about the music, man.
When did Bean say he wanted to play the ukulele?
We're coming up in probably 8 to 10 months.
I feel, like September, October of last year.
So I bought him one.
Yeah.
I was very deeply committed to the idea of playing the ukulele.
100%.
I was so in that it was going to be my life going forward. I was going to look back on my deathbed at before ukulele and after ukulele.
Yeah, you were the guy who ordered one and took a picture with it day one. Like, time to start. All excited.
And how great of Kevin to not tell any of us, just, you know what, I'm going to order my partner, Bean, a ukulele. Just send it to his house. How
it was,
lovely!
Just
Kevin.
As a surprise,
it was absolutely. It was a wonderful gesture, and I could not be more appreciative.
Couldn't start playing quick enough, right?
I mean, that was the plan. So I do still have my ukulele.
All right, well, give us a song because then I want to play the ukulele, kid.
Oh, you want to hear some of my playing, and then we'll hear some of the kid's
strong.
If you don't mind.
Well, again,
he's going to do Bohemian Rhapsody. Go ahead.
All right. I haven't warmed up, though. You have to cut me a little bit of slack.
Okay.
I'm coming in cold this morning. Okay.
All right.
And I demand complete silence.
Okay. Sure.
You get it.
I mean, that's what I got so far.
I got to tell you, it was a clean note.
It was. Thank you.
It was.
It was a beautiful note.
I've worked hard to get to this point. Now, what's Feng Yi doing? What's
Feng
he got?
Feng Yi is 11, and he's doing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay, I mean, that's technically better.
I mean, a little. I assume you're saving your best, though. Right?
Yeah, I'm building up to this, of course, yeah. He's how old? He's 80, 81?
He's 11.
He's been playing his whole life?
He's 11.
11, yeah.
He's 11 years old. All right, give us a bit of your next song.
Okay.
So exciting.
Now that was incorporating all of the strings.
I see.
Was it? Okay.
By the way, so that's big for me.
11-year-old Feng Yi doing Rolling in the Deep on his ukulele.
Okay.
Go ahead, Bean.
Oh, my God.
I hope he breaks a string.
11-year-old Feng Yi doing Uptown Funk. Did I mention he was 11?
You did. Several times.
Playing the instrument you have in your hands.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Hey, Feng Yi, I can get sex, dude, okay?
Again, 11.
That's what 11. I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
You're age-shaming him?
I am. He thinks he's all that. But I got some things on my side, too, bud.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
kid's good.
He's good.
Yeah.
All right, Dean, last one.
Give us your big closer.
Give us your big closer. The best one that you have that's going to blow people away.
Well, my big closer is when I put it back in the case and shut it. I know Kevin is our big moviegoer. He's every, R.I.P. Kevin, by the way. He's every single weekend at a Southern California theater. And I couldn't do it. I'm sorry. I'm one of those 21st century guys who knows that in 3 months it's going to be available on my big screen TV and I'll be at home and be able to watch it by myself or with my wife. Why would I want to deal with people at a movie theater?
Even movies that you know you should be seeing on a big screen still doesn't interest you?
Still doesn't interest
me. Oh, yeah,
me.
I'll see Godzilla King of Monsters on my phone. I don't care. I really don't.
I watch Dunkirk on planes.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
No, that's how it was designed, Dunkirk, for a play. But this is why I'm so surprised. I mean, this year is one of Hollywood's biggest ever as a result of some of the things like Avengers Endgame. I mean, the people obviously are going to the movies, and they're able to tolerate other people being in the theater. Jensen, you went to the movies this weekend and had a great time.
Yeah, I went and saw Detective Pikachu, which...
Detective... Pikachu.
That also, yeah. I went to see that movie twice in a weekend. The first one, theater packed, full house. Second one, I went, no one in theater. It was literally me and scattered amounts, you know, maybe four people total in the theater.
Well, the second one was way better then.
Yes, yeah. I was happier with less people in the theater, but not necessarily because... You know how they give you these assigned seats, but when you show up to the theater, you get to pick which one on the screen? Somebody picked the seat right next to me and then sat next to me the whole theater, like the whole movie, despite the idea that the theater was completely open.
They didn't get up to move and you didn't get up to move?
No, because I was determined to not move at that point. I wanted this seat.
Why?
Well, because I just...
You're only hurt yourself.
Yeah, but then I was like, I also was like, I was pot committed. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, well, I'm not getting up now. It's your move. But we sat next to each other like we were on a date or something through the entire movie. And it made me start thinking about things that kill me about theater etiquette. Like, if the theater is that open, you should get up and move to another row.
Can I just ask a quick question?
Yes.
This was another grown man?
No. Well, grown is questionable.
How old?
Probably about 17.
Okay. So you, a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
Seeing Detective Pikachu.
Thank you. Full name.
Detective Pikachu.
Right.
Alone.
This time.
Yep. And he, a 17-year-old.
I'm being nice. Could be 18.
Wow. There's
18.
So many questionable things about this.
He also kept tapping his leg on the...
Stop it!
Jensen had a date with a teenager to see the Detective Pikachu movie.
We both enjoyed it heavily.
You should... Were you sharing popcorn? Yeah. If you get my drift.
Yeah, no, I was not sharing popcorn with the random next to me. And he should have got up and moved anyway.
You I find it weird that neither moved. Of you did.
No, I was already there.
You were also already an adult.
That's what we're talking about is etiquette. And the etiquette is I was there first. He needs to move to another aisle or even one seat over. So the popcorn that we shared could be in the middle.
Right. So that would be there'd be no question about what's at the bottom of the pile. We're going to talk about movie theater etiquette. I know there are a lot of reasons why maybe going to the theater isn't as much fun as it used to be because people are just not – they're not thinking about other people anymore. We don't live in a super courteous society anymore. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much I'm going to do what I'm going to do. So we want to talk about your movie etiquette complaints that you have at 1-800-520-1067. I have one that I'd like to throw out there, Jensen, before we get to calls.
Yeah.
And that is, we most often hear about this dilemma on an airplane, but what about in a movie theater? What's the deal with the armrest?
Pokemon Detective
really?
Pikachu. Yeah. The guy, it's a good question, though, because I don't know the answer.
I don't know the answer either.
I think you're just supposed to split it. So both of you are sort of like casually.
Like yours is more towards the back. His can be more towards the front.
Yeah. I really do think that. I don't know. Is there an answer to that?
That is awfully close to a stranger, though.
I know. Mm-hmm.
To share an armrest.
Yeah.
I mean, Allie, what do? You don't go to the movies.
I'm going to the movies this Saturday.
All right. And if somebody sits down and takes your arm.
Yeah. Thank you for recognizing my greatness.
First time in the 21st century. If somebody sits down and takes the armrest to the left and the armrest to the right, what do?
I don't use the armrest because armrests don't really matter to me.
Oh, they matter to me.
Yeah. I'm not a big armrester.
Makes me comfortable.
Yeah. I don't have long arms, so they could just be by my side and in my lap and I'm fine.
So you're also being bullied at that point, just so you know.
I'm also like a T-Rex.
When you go to the movies this weekend, are you going to see...
Detective Pikachu.
No, I am actually seeing an early screening of Rocket Man.
Oh.
And I cannot wait.
Okay.
That'll be fun. Can I throw one more out?
Yes.
Okay. When you see a movie with a friend nowadays, you have to buy the tickets. You know, one person has to buy the tickets so they're together.
Mm-hmm.
The awkward, hey man, you owe me $13 when you
You buy the tickets. Yeah.
What an awful moment. There should be a way to like remind them through the website you buy the ticket through.
Like a little nudge. Hey,
Like
pay
a little
friend.
Nudge. Hey, pay your friend. You bought the tickets because you feel awful as you're walking to the theater. Or they'll say like, oh, buy the food or something. It still doesn't work. Like, I'm not even saying I need the money back, but I hate that back and forth. That's bad etiquette. There should be a way. You just see them, they hand you the ticket, and then you go, oh, I owe you the money, and then give the money.
Hmm.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You hate the fact that it's on you to not only pay for both tickets, but then to also be the collector to get your money back.
Exactly. It puts you in a terrible situation.
Totally get it.
Yeah.
All right, let's take one quick call before the break at 1-800-520-1067. Let's make it line one. Say hi to Alex. He's in the LBC, and he joins us on K-Rock. We're talking about movie theater etiquette. This might be a good idea for people to pay attention. Write this stuff down if you need to, and keep it in mind the next time you go to a Southern California theater. All right, Alex, you're on the air. What's up?
I've got two quick things. One, if there should be a rule, if the movie's already started and you come into the theater late, you're relegated to the first two rows or the very back. You shouldn't be allowed to play Tetris.
That's great.
With people in the rows, moving people left and right. The other is at the concession stand. Please know what you want to order before you get up there. Don't decide.
Amen.
Alex, 2020.
Alex.
Those are great.
Yes.
Alex, you need to be run. Will you please buy a theater chain? Seriously.
That was
I'm coming
very good.
To your place.
Very
That's
good.
Outstanding work, sir. Appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. What do you want to add to the list about going to the movies? What sucks about it? And what can we change? Give us a call. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Killers next on the world-famous K-Rock. Right now we're talking movie etiquette. What do you want to add to the list? Joseph La Mirada, line four. You're up next on K-Rock, sir. What's happening?
Good morning. Good morning. So best thing not to take in, bag of chips.
Yes. Mm. You know, for two reasons, Joseph, bag and crunch.
Exactly. Had a lady bring a big family-sized bag of Doritos.
I let it go for a little bit, but then the kids started fighting over it. I couldn't handle it. I reached over, grabbed the bag, threw it across the aisle, and said, go ahead and get it.
Beat it, kid.
There are several items that are for sale in a lot of movie theater lobbies that are problematic, I think. I mean, even when you buy the candy that's in a box, like Mike and Ike's or something like that, or Raisinets, I mean, people do shake the box, right? Mm-hmm. People do tip the box. I mean, they're not going out of their way to be quiet with their snack food, is what I'm saying.
No.
That's a temporary annoyance as opposed to a bag. Every time you reach in, there's a noise. Every time you bite down, there's a noise. It's like, and these kids just weren't eating one every few minutes. It was constantly over and over and over. So there's no way. I swear to God, if somebody does it again, I will lip smack them.
All right. Fair enough. Joseph, we're adding that to the list. Thank you for the call, sir. And Chip, you must be very disappointed to find out no chips allowed in a movie theater.
I'm very upset.
I mean, you were hoping to go see some of these movies this year. All right, 1-800-520-1067. More calls coming up next after Jack and the Rockin' Tours on K-Rock. Dear Kevin and Bean, Jonathan writes in, I went to a movie with a lady next to me who had an emotional support dog on her lap. Snapped at me in the beginning of the movie, watch your movies at home, dog lady. What are your thoughts, Jensen, on you're the movie etiquette guy? You brought it up. How about emotional support dogs to the movies?
It's very difficult for me to ever say no to a derg. So I think I want to look over and see a dog throughout the movie, even if it snaps at me.
Okay.
I think
should bring their dogs.
Obviously, if it's a good boy, it's better, but
sure.
Any dog.
1-800-520-1067. It occurs to us there are lots of ways people can ruin the movie experience for you. Let's go to Eric. He's in Torrance. Line 4, up first this segment on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Eric.
Hey, good morning, K-Rock crew.
What do you want to add to the list?
If people are wearing shoes or sandals to keep them on their feet and not to put them on the back of the seats, because I tend to focus on the foot rather than the movie.
What kind of monsters are putting their feet up on the seats in a movie theater?
I mean, feet, literal feet. Not just shoes, he's saying. He's saying they take them off and then put them up.
That's unbelievable. I can't believe anyone. You've seen that?
Yes, it is gross.
That is gross. Why are people just putting their feet up anyway? You wouldn't do that at your own home. It's disgusting.
Sometimes you see it on Instagram. People take photos of, like, airplanes.
Passenger shaming.
Yeah. And you're like, what are you doing with your feet, even without your socks on, you weirdo?
Unacceptable.
Eric, we will allow it. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Vanessa in Whittier, line 2. She's coming from a different angle. She says she has an excuse for her bad movie etiquette. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi.
Uh-oh. What happened? Why were you raised by wolves?
I don't know. When I was younger, too, we would walk in with extra large pizzas, and they never told us anything when we were younger.
Extra large pizzas? Just having a full meal.
I mean, I don't hate it.
I mean, we are kind of on your side here. But, I mean, and also, I'm not hearing your pizza. It's just you guys are just kind of reaching over each other and stuff.
Yeah, but we went to the Beauty and the Beast with Emma Watson. And me and my son, I guess we were singing too loud, but I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. And when we left, my sister said that I guess the lady told us to shut up, but I didn't hear her.
You were singing too loud.
Yeah, you're too busy singing and talking. Right, mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. Well, Vanessa, don't keep doing what you're doing, but thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to David, Granada Hills, line 3, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show, movie theater etiquette. Hey, David, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. You got my name wrong, but okay. So whoever said about talking,
this is working out well. What is your real name?
Thaddeus.
All right. It says David Adams on the screen. Hmm. I apologize. We didn't get a meter on, but at least I know the word talking.
Talk about etiquette.
Wow. Yes. All right. So what were you going to add? Go ahead, Thaddeus.
All right, so talking during the movie depends on the movie.
Nope.
No. What are you going to see The Room? I don't understand. What movie are you allowed to talk in?
Well, no, Endgame, because you're, like, cheering on everybody. When you first see it, you're cheering on everybody. When you see people on screen, you're like, yeah. Or when I saw the movie, I went to El Capitan and saw it, so everybody in the movie theater was just, like, roaring and every single time.
I think I get what he's saying. Like, Star Wars, when Force Awakens started,
Star Wars came back.
You see that scroll, everyone cheered. And that's understandable. But to do it throughout the movie at certain points, no. But just a little bit of excitement when you see a character come back, I think that's kind of cool.
Maybe.
It's okay for an event movie, but that's very different from people who just talk during
a movie. That's not talking.
That's not what we want. Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call, Thaddeus. We appreciate it. Michael writes in, Kevin and Bean, movie theater rule number one, if you are sick, stay home, people. I do not want to listen to you cough and snort. Please also do not expose us to all your contagion. I think that's just good advice for anything in public, right? I would say. Muggs, you stepped in. What's up?
Yeah, get your REM sleep at home. Leave that for home. I went to Captain Marvel at TCL Chinese Theater, which is like a $20 ticket. 5 minutes into the movie, guy two seats next to me snoring loud.
No.
To the point where, like, people in front of me, like, are turning around and looking at me, and then they're like, is that guy snoring? What's going on? It was
so distracting.
It was all the quiet parts of Captain Marvel. You're just like, you're hearing this guy just saw logs. It was
Why did nobody reach over and shake him awake?
I don't know.
That's technically assault.
Yeah, I thought about doing it.
It's kind of not a good move.
I thought about doing it, but I like Jensen said, what if he wakes up and just decks me?
You don't touch a stranger.
No, exactly.
My dad was a bit of a REM sleeper in movies, and one time he fell asleep, and he then fell asleep through another showing of it.
So he wasn't meant to see that movie.
Yeah, like I'm sure they made sure he wasn't dead, but then he just saw the movie again, and then he's like, I woke up, and they were cleaning the theater.
Oh, shit.
Can we deal with the phones real quick on line four? Because we haven't even mentioned phones. Kevork is in Pasadena. He's up next on the Kevin Beach Show. Seriously, telephones in a movie theater. What say you, Kevork?
Hey, so worst thing is the people who use their phones in the theater, but they have their brightness all the way up.
Mm-hmm. How about the worst thing is people use their phones, period, even if the brightness is all the way down and they're still texting or whatever? No.
I do have one caveat. I'm not against one check in a movie. If it's like a long 2-hour, 3-hour movie, one check to make sure there's no emergency. And if there is an emergency, go outside the theater. But I give you one check and that's it.
Let's close with Marissa. She is on line three. La Mirada, our final call on this topic. Marissa, thanks for checking in. What's going on?
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
So I'm a nurse. And so if you have lights, don't go to the movie theater. I haven't seen it. Patient came in. She was complaining of, like, her head, itching. And, she said that she went to the movie theater. So that's where she got it.
No one. You shouldn't even leave the house. You should be you should have to shave your head and stay inside for months.
You know what?
Okay, that's extreme.
It's disgusting. So after I knew that, I go to the movie theater with a hoodie on.
Oh, I think that's very smart. I mean, Jensen doing the popcorn trick with a teenager during the Pikachu movie is now not the worst thing I've heard today. Thank you for the call. New last word on movie theater etiquette. Deborah Jean writes in at the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, at Kevin and Bean. All these reasons are why I go to my local drive-in. Two movies for $9. I smoke all the herb I want in the car and no assholes chewing loudly behind me. God, I hate people. I think the drive-in is perfect for Deborah Jean, don't y'all?
That does seem good. Never been to a drive-in.
Oh, they're so fun.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
There aren't many left in Southern California.
There aren't.
There are a couple, though.
Yeah.
I need to.
I think you... RJ Bell joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show to tell us how to make money on the NCAA tournament. Does that mean we're going to have to bet on Duke? Is that the only way to make money on the show?
You make very little. You can barely make money.
Yeah. It's like you put in $1,200 to make $100 for real.
Right.
That's like exactly.
You bet the long shots.
He'll have some tips for us. Go Anteaters. I think that's where we're coming from, right, is Go Anteaters.
Yeah.
Only two colleges, Kevin. I don't know how much you followed the bracket when you were out of the country, but only two colleges in the entire state of California are in the tournament this year. And one of them is UC Irvine's Anteaters. The other is St. Mary's. So we'll talk to RJ Bell next hour. First, though, you almost died on vacation?
Well, I was lucky enough to go to Spain, which has just been a lifelong dream for me. And I got to go, and I'd like to tell you four one-sentence stories and then get to the real one. One was I got to a nightclub at 1:30 a.m. and they said I was an hour early.
Yeah, that's insane.
Two is I met seven people from Southern California, and we went on a pub crawl. all night.
Fun.
Wow. It was so fun. We ended up at a place called the Monkey Bar, Bean.
That was your home.
Three is that I went to dinner and forgot my credit card, had to leave my phone with them, go back to the hotel and get my credit card, come back, pay, and get my phone back.
Oh, wow.
Hashtag KevDog. Four is I was attacked by birds.
I'm sorry?
You know when you go to these public places and birds are used to being fed by tourists?
Right.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So I kicked at a bird, and it just, like, sidestepped, just like, whatever. It didn't care at all. And then there were 2, 3, 4, 7, 14 birds, and I literally, like a baby, got up and ran.
Did you have any food with you?
No! Like,
do you think they were responding to the kick?
I don't know. But they were. It was a concerted effort for all of them to just take me down.
So how much do you want to bet?
I wish I would have had video of me standing up and running. That would have been the funniest thing.
Were you eating a sandwich?
I was not.
Okay.
Were they ravens or crows?
I don't know.
Aren't they usually pigeons?
Yeah, like, they were pigeons. Yeah, they were pigeons.
Okay. Because ravens and crows, I mean, they're known for being dicks. I just wondered. Okay, so you're saying pigeons.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay, so now my real story. Okay. I got a scooter.
Oh, no.
Because everybody drives a scooter in Barcelona. What do you mean, no?
You guys don't have a good history with scooters.
Well, Bean doesn't. Mine's great.
Oh, go on.
So I'm talking to my daughter, and she says, this is a terrible idea. And I said, don't tell anyone else in the family. I'm doing it, and I don't want to hear it. And if anybody else talks to me about it, I know it's you. So I went, and they had 250cc, 125cc, and I was like, I'll take the 125. I don't really need 250. I'd probably kill myself on that. And they went, oh, we only have 50cc. It's kind of like a mini bike.
Yeah, it's like a Mario Kart.
Yeah, sort of. It goes like 50 if you're going, like at full speed. So I went to this tourist location, took some great pictures, and I thought to myself, okay, it's 13 minutes back to my hotel. I want to leave because I don't want to be driving in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get home in plenty of time before the sun goes down. Now, it doesn't have a GPS on it.
Oh, God.
So I keep the GPS on my phone, and I turn it up as loud as I can, but it's in my shorts or in my jeans. So I can't. I hear every once in a while, I hear, left. 200 feet. I have no idea what's going on. At one point, I pulled over. And by the way, now it's dark.
Yes.
I pulled over, and I was further away from my hotel than when I started.
Mm.
Also, in Barcelona, they have signs for streets, but they're little placards that are on the building on the corner.
Hard to spot.
Impossible.
Yeah. In the dark, especially.
Yes, especially in the dark. So I'm trying my best to get there. I've been going like for 45 minutes. I'm tired. I get to a roundabout. And I get into the roundabout, and I turn, and I go, oops, just missed my turn. So I thought, I'll just keep going around.
Sure. Look, it's Big Ben, European vacation. Yeah.
So as I start turning around, I feel something hit my whole left side, my left handlebar, my left shoulder, and my left elbow.
It was those pigeons.
No.
And I turned to my left, and it was a giant bus. A bus. Now, I wouldn't say I got hit by it, but I got
swiped.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't knock me down immediately, but I thought in that 1 second, I hope my kids know I love them. Peace out. Like, it wasn't a question of whether I was going to die. It was just, this is it. This is how I go. So that there was a car to my right. I couldn't get over. So,
oh, my gosh.
You were being sandwiched.
Yeah, I was being sandwiched. Yeah, and this bus didn't care because it's a bus, and I'm a scooter. A 50cc, no less. Like, you're going, this guy's riding a mini bike. He deserves to go. Yeah. So hits me. I sort of lean over, hit the brake, and at this part, I completely black out.
Right.
I don't know what happened. Somehow I think I hit my brake enough that the car in the lane next to me went in front of me.
Uh-huh.
But about 30 seconds later, I would say, I had gotten off the street and I was in a cafe and I was sweating and I threw up.
Whoa.
Because of the brush with death.
Because I knew I was going to die. I just got hit by a bus on a scooter. So somehow, in the blackout time, I had gotten over lane. It was six lanes around. And I had gotten all the way over and pulled off because I was really scared and threw up. Jeez. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, I just told my daughter I was going to get a scooter. She said it's a terrible idea. I said, don't tell anyone else that. I will be careful.
You had like an out-of-body experience.
Yes, very much so.
And you have no memory of that 30 seconds of you extricating yourself from that traffic.
Quote unquote surviving.
I don't. I mean, I feel like it was probably 75% luck. 80% luck.
Oh, my gosh.
Just I happened to avoid because there were so many cars. So I got over there for like, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes at the cafe. And I was just thinking, what do I do?
Yeah.
You were kind of afraid to get back on the scooter.
I was scared out of my mind.
It's still dark, obviously.
Still dark.
Are way far away from your hotel. You don't know how to get there.
So I looked at the direction finder again, and I got on my scooter, and I drove back to the hotel.
Slowly, I'm sure.
Yeah, slowly in the right lane. And I will tell you this, that it was 13 minutes from where I was to my hotel, and it took 1 hour and 19 minutes to get back.
Oh, Kevin.
A woman in a walker passed you twice. Look at that guy.
Oh, no, I toured around the whole city many, many different times. Like, I would go past a fountain and go, been here before.
Wow.
Not sure what I'm doing. But I got back on it, and I went back to my hotel, and I was like, all right. That was my brush with death. So I'm all good now.
So you getting a scooter?
Absolutely. So I rode it the rest of the vacation. No problems whatsoever.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I don't think I'd get back on.
That's so fun.
All right. Allie's going to bring it here. Now let's all be civil, okay? We're friends.
We're just having
a conversation.
No one's civil better than we are.
No, I've lost friends for less.
I'm just saying we need to understand and we need to accept and respect other people's opinions, even if we don't agree
with
them.
Stupid.
Okay.
I know it is, but we got to try here because this is an inflammatory issue here.
Yeah. You guys, this all started on Sunday, and I watched it play out in real time on Twitter. What began as a somewhat innocuous tweet from a gentleman that goes by @Advil. He wrote, "Hello, fellow adults. My girlfriend and I have a question. What is the correct amount of towels to own? I said 10, and she looked at me like I was crazy. We have zero frame of reference on the appropriate amount of towels in a household of two." And I will tell you this.
What did you watch play out in real time?
This man did not know what he did by tweeting that. I'm telling you, Towelgate 2019 is what ensued. So it started off kind of, you know, benign. So a guy wrote back, 10 is appropriate. Next person wrote back, 42.
42!
Next person writes back, my random rule of thumb, 2 full sets for each person in the house, plus a full set for each guest you have space for. If you have a dog, you need approximately 100 more.
Holy cow!
And then people were like, the correct answer is whatever's correct for you. But here's where it got into a zone that people were like, this is insane. I don't even know who you people are. This is a man that I follow. He goes by @Yashar. He tweeted, as a couple, you should own a minimum of the following. 10 bath sheets, 10 bath towels, 10 hand towels, 20 washcloths. Preferably more. And that's when people lost their minds. First of all, the amount of people that didn't know what a bath sheet was.
My hand's up right now, Allie. Okay. I don't know what a bath sheet is.
Oh, my God. You people. You monsters. A bath sheet.
Well, you use a towel when you get out of the shower. What do you need a sheet
for? Well, that's a normal towel. It's not an actual sheet. It's just a bigger towel. Normal towel is about 31 by 57.
Why don't they just call it a bigger towel?
A bath sheet is about 40 by 70.
Which is more of a beach towel.
It's like a beach towel, but it's a bath
sheet. It's too much.
Yeah, but people are like, 20 washcloths? I'm telling you, I'm watching this, and I'm like, this is insane to me.
20 seems like a lot of washcloths.
It does. I mean, how many bathrooms do you have where you need 20 washcloths?
Here's the thing. The conversation I then got into that evening at dinner with my friends that were like, what's a washcloth? And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And then I thought, okay, they call it something different. Like, in my family, we called it a face cloth. It's a little sheet. Right?
Sure. It's a hand-sized
towel. Yeah.
Sure.
And one of my friends was like, I don't use a washcloth, to which my friend, who is of a different race than us, said, you white people don't use washcloths. That's been a whole thing that we've discussed.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
It's on.
Oh, yeah.
Race war. Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. It's
Why
going
does it
down.
Have to be white
race
people?
War. Come on. Race war.
I then find out from my black friend that no white person that she knows what a washcloth is, let alone uses it, to which I yell, what are you using? And my friend says, soap in your hand. I yelled in the restaurant, how do you wash your butt?
That's a good thing to yell in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. I was blown away by this. Then we all started discussing how many towels we actually do have. I realize I have a huge problem. A huge issue, because I not only have a linen closet full of towels, I then have two different areas for towels in my bathroom.
Can you bring some of those in? Because we've got water in the hallways.
I have a lot of towels. But the discussion about towels became insane. And 20 washcloths to me is not a big deal because they're one use. You use it in the shower and then you put it in the hamper. You're going to wash it. You don't use a washcloth more than once because of the bacteria in the shower. That's disgusting. To which my friend said, no, I use a loofah. You are loofahing your body with extra bacteria every day. You put a loofah in your crack? What is wrong with you? This is disgusting.
This is quite a monologue, by the way, and I'm really sitting back and enjoying it.
I wish she was wearing the mouth guard. Here's my towel situation, because I wrote it down for this bit.
Okay.
Master bath, 8 bath sheets.
Okay.
12 hand, 12 hand towels.
Okay.
I purchased 4 washcloths for my shoes. So that I can clean my shoes and not worry about using other people's towels.
Okay, wait. So did you buy any other washcloths?
Yes.
The only... Okay.
I grew up doing what she said, which is washcloths as soap. Over time, I've stopped doing that because in college I felt ashamed to be doing that for some
really?
Reason. Yeah, because I had the two towels. I had the large towel to wipe myself off and then one for the soap, but no one else was doing it.
Oh,
I was
I have 3 towels. I one towel for my hair, then a bath towel for my body, and then a washcloth for the... Hoo-haw.
6 rag towels are in the master bath. 4 dog dry-off towels, which I didn't know how else to say them. The guest bedroom has 8 bath towels, 10 hand towels.
Holy crap.
So that means I have 22 hand towels and 16 bath sheets.
Yeah, you've got a problem, too.
And then I also have 6 backup nice towels, and those are just given from Danielle's house, and we don't want to throw them away.
Okay, would you like to hear my breakdown?
My house is one big towel is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And keep in mind, I'm one person.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when you started giving some early numbers, is that you're one person who rarely has visitors. I feel like you could get by with one set of towels.
Okay. I have 8 bath sheets, 30 towels.
Stop right there.
Yeah.
8 bigger towels, bath sheets.
Yeah.
And 30 towels.
30! And keep in mind that I use a bath sheet during
a
shower.
Right?
And then, nope, just
my home.
You
don't run a hostel. Okay.
And then I have one towel for my hair. 6 beach towels, 4 microfiber towels for my hair if I want to wear it.
6 beach towels?
What is going on?
What is going on?
25 hand towels, 16 fancy, also different holiday towels.
You're the Imelda Marcos of towels.
Good reference.
And
thank you.
30 washcloths.
30
washcloths.
Are you running a towel store out of your apartment?
Apparently, I have a problem. I admit this is way too many towels.
Okay,
I admit that. But I also feel like there are people with one set of towels. That's disgusting. What's wrong with
Can
you?
Can I ask another question as a follow-up? How many bed sheets do you own? Sets.
Oh, well, I have 2 bedrooms, so I would say on each bed probably has 4 sets of sheets, because I have everything from the cotton, then I have flannel sheets, and then I have the jersey sheets. So you have different sheets for different seasons
here in Los Angeles. How do you have room to move, right?
Yeah. It's a big place, but I'm just saying, I know I have a problem, but I think other people have real problems by having too few of towels.
I mean, I don't use a washcloth, ever.
Oh, how do you wipe your butt clean?
With the soap?
You put soap right in...
No, you have the body wash stuff.
What, do you squirt it?
Yeah.
Directly into your butt?
You sit on it. No, I'm just kidding. But I don't have a washcloth. Bean?
Of course I have a washcloth. Well, you need a washcloth in the shower and you need a washcloth in the sink.
You don't need it. This is the conversation.
Yes, you need washcloths.
You don't need it.
You're disgusting.
Yes, you do.
You're absolutely. You're the one that has to throw away the washcloth every time you use it.
Throw it away, I wash it. Okay, I will say this. When I went to Europe for the first time, I was like, who are these nasty-ass people that aren't washing their butt? Because every hotel did not have a washcloth until my last hotel. And I said to the bartender, I said, hey, I noticed that you guys have washcloths. No other hotel in Europe has had a washcloth. And he goes, well, we cater to Americans. You guys like washcloths.
Huh.
What?
Except for white people, apparently.
Well, white people are nasty.
You see that? You see how white people do?
How are you?
All right.
We need to take a break.
You're first, just squirting in your crack.
All right, stand by, Allie. Stand by. We need to take a break. We're out of time for this segment, but we want to include some phone calls on this. Towels, what's up is the topic. 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear about you if you have too many towels. We want to hear about you if you have too few towels. And we also want you to convince Kevin that he needs to start using a goddamn washcloth.
Oh, my God.
Well, how much damage are you? How much damage are you guys doing to your beeholes in one day? Holy crap.
1-800-520-1067.
What's up?
Towels, what's up? When do we return on camera?
All right, just ahead of Nirvana.
Allie, you okay?
Towel talk, guys.
There's some very concerning things happening on the phone.
Towels, what's up, George? Hello, George. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
What do you got?
So, about a year ago, I never used washcloth. And so my girlfriend, when I used to live with her, her whole family has washcloths right there, like on little shelves. And once you're done using them, you throw it in the hamper. Mm-hmm. Well, now that I use washcloths, I realize that your whole body's a whole lot cleaner. Because I used to just use a bar of soap, let it set it up, then rinse my body off.
George, it's life-changing, and I'm glad that she introduced you to it.
Oh, my God, it is life-changing. You feel like a baby after.
Thank you. George, spread the word to everyone.
You have baby smooth skin afterwards.
Right. Take it easy, George.
So, George, what's your message for stanky-ass Kevin, then?
Oh, you're a stanky-ass white man.
Okay. That's the takeaway. That's the takeaway on today's show. Thank you, George. Towels, what's up, especially washcloths. That seems to be the dividing line here. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls after Nirvana on K-Rock. We're doing towels, what's up. And, Allie, you gave us a rundown of all the towels in your apartment.
Yeah.
Have you totaled them up? I mean, is it like 200?
That's a lot of towels. A guy just mentioned, he's like, what about kitchen towels? I'm like, oh, God, I didn't count those.
Now you have drawers of those.
Yeah.
Alex on Twitter wrote and said, if you're a guest at Allie McKay's house, don't forget your room key when you check out with those 30 towels.
I will say this. It all came down to washcloths for me and my friends. When
sure.
I found out that one of my friends didn't use a washcloth, now knowing that I work with someone that doesn't use a washcloth. Stank-ass white man. So this guy just wrote, thank you, Walkman, on Twitter. I'm protein Kevin Ryder. No washcloth. Saving the environment. Don't you see those signs in hotels about saving millions of gallons of water? Hello, this just in. I wash my towels once a week, as opposed to people that have the same set of towels that are washing them multiple times. So I win again, stank ass.
So
wash your butt. Wash your butt.
All right. This is
disturbing.
Let's go to Charlie in Culver City, please. He's on line four. I think he is also team stank-ass white man.
Good morning, Charlie.
Hi, morning.
What's up?
I'm definitely team no washcloth. Just to get across to Allie, it seems that she can't picture just creating a nice lather beforehand. We're not squirting the soap directly into like a pot we call our butt crack. Like, you lather it up and your hands can accomplish quite a bit of what a washcloth can.
And here's my other question. How much damage have you done to that area since 24 hours ago?
So now your hands have your stank butt on it.
It has soap. How much damage do you have going on down there?
But I guess the question is, who's soaping the soap?
Thank you.
It's like the Watchmen.
Thank you. So do you all use the same soap in your shower, or do you each have your own bar of soap? Because I don't want to use your soap if you're stank soap.
You know what? Allie, welcome to Lake City. I can't speak for your friend at that all-girls dinner table, but in the man's world, 80 to 85% of what we use is already liquid soap. So it doesn't, we don't have to, we don't have
oh,
to
so you're
use
not using bar soap. You're using body
exactly.
wash.
You know, so, I don't want to like speak for Kevin and Bean, but I know in my world, I grew up in kind of like a locker room situation, and that stuff is much easier and not reusable. So I'm kind of, that antibacteria as well. It goes away.
It goes away.
You're walking around with butt hands, Charlie. That's all I know.
Butt hands, Charlie.
Thank you for the call, Charlie. I may be old school, but I'm sticking with soap and a washcloth.
Thank you, Bean.
That's where I'm
You're
at.
A good American.
Ted writes in, Ted with two D's, so I don't really trust him, but he says, I feel weird about this now, but I counted as the conversation was happening. I'm a single guy. I have about 40 towels.
Wow! Ted.
I split those between my master and guest bathroom. I also constantly have a pack of 20 washcloths that I regularly throw out and repurchase from Costco after too many uses, so basically those rarely go away. On top of that, every time I travel, I steal a set of large towels from my hotel if they're high quality enough.
Ted, I have a lady boner.
I learned today I clearly have a problem, says Ted. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Cindy. She's in Whittier. She has very strong all caps feelings on line 6 about washcloths.
Hey, Cindy.
Hey, you have to use a washcloth, and let me tell you where to go. You can go to a big major chain. They sell 18 of them for $3.77. Mm-hmm. And every day you can get a fresh one. And then when they start to soil, you put them aside and you have cleaning rags and they go in the rag pile. They are excellent for your car, your floors, your counters. You always use bleach so there's no skin or anything caca on them.
Oh, Cindy. Cindy took it too far, Cindy.
Good morning.
I support everything Cindy said up until caca.
But Cindy, if I can speak on behalf of my client, Mr. Stank S. Whiteman, what about him with the body soap, with the liquid antibacterial instead, and not using a washcloth?
You use the liquid soap on your washcloth. It's really easy, and I don't even know what to say. If you're not using one, you're not getting clean. And then another helpful handy tip, you can go to the 99-cent store, and they have these things. They're like plastic spun together. They're like plastic sandpaper. And
what
you can
the F are you doing down there? That you need sandpaper.
Cindy, I don't think you should sandpaper your butt.
Cindy, do you need a drill? What is
your washcloth to get super, super clean?
I mean, a sandpaper.
Sandpaper to make your washcloth clean?
That's a lot. That's a lot.
She's on your side.
Cindy,
I know.
How much caca? That is a lot of caca.
Okay.
Oh, man.
All right, okay. Let's go to line 3 because
do we have to?
Yes, we have to.
This is bonkers.
Dennis? Good morning.
Yes. Good morning.
Talis, right. What's up?
So this is for Allie.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't. So my mom made us wash our bodies with the underwear we took off.
So you were using the underwear you just wore as a washcloth.
Yes, as a little kid. So we would take. I keep saying we. I have three sisters, so she probably only made me do it.
Well, it sounds sanitary.
Yeah. So then, okay.
So not only did I not wash my body, but I washed my body with my booty.
Yeah.
After all.
So it was whitey tidies, I assume, right, Dennis?
Yes, yeah. Just regular cotton whitey tidies, and then, take them off, lather them up, wash them up, and then wash your body with them. So it's kind of like a pre-wash before she did laundry.
Oh, Dennis.
Look, you did what you had to do back in the Depression. We get it.
I can't believe he found time to get out of the bread line.
It's 7:15 this morning. All the details on Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness.
Nice.
The lineup, how you can buy tickets, everything you will find out at 7:15 this morning. Allie found a tweet.
Oh, man.
Over the weekend that she freaked out about.
Listen, I see tweets. I bring them to the show. We have some insane discussions. This is what happened with the washcloth.
Washcloths. What's up?
What's up? Mm-hmm. Which way do you face in the shower? That caused quite a stir.
Sure.
But this tweet that I saw from a man in Dublin, Ireland named Steve O'Rourke was retweeted into my timeline. And I thought, well, this man is a monster.
And I think he had an innocent joy in tweeting it. I don't think he believed it would cause a stir.
He was not ready for this backlash, is all I'm going to say. So this lovely man, I'm sure, before he tweeted this, Steve O'Rourke tweets, "We were just chatting in work, and apparently it's weird that Amy and I don't sleep on the same side of the bed every night. Some nights I like to sleep by the window, some nights the door. It's not really that unusual, is it? Yes, Steve.
I think it's 100% unusual.
You have your side, your partner has their side, and you never change, ever.
So much so that at hotels you stay in the same configuration.
Yes. Yeah. You go and visit people, you sleep in a guest bedroom, it's the same configuration. So people were responding to him like, what is wrong with you and Amy? And he wrote, I feel like I need to point out the following. And I'm like, okay, here we go. He's going to fix this for all of us. Number one. First one in chooses. Okay, what?
Yeah, that means they're going to bed at different times, or
right?
Something?
Where's the love with you and Amy? Number two, we've never disagreed over it.
So first one in picks, and then the other one just goes.
You
okay.
just fall in line, okay? All right. Number three, this is where I just thought, well, these people need to be put down.
Right.
He said, we move pillows and books as we move. So you have your favorite pillow, you have your books on your nightstand, but then that night you're like, you know what, I want to sleep by the wall that night. You then move it to the other side?
That seems like a lot of work.
This is insanity. Number four, we don't change every single night. Oh, okay. You're not that much of a monster.
We're into it. Yeah.
And then number five, this is where he just shows his cards, shows his full hand right there. He said, neither of us are aliens. Oh, I beg to differ, Steve.
Because that is
Steve
what an alien would say.
Yes.
Is it weird that when I read it, I felt a little bit of jealousy in it?
That they were so free?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, just
that's
like,
a little strange, yeah.
As someone who has suffered from OCD, I do feel like I was like, oh, man, you can just pick any side of the bed to sleep on and like, sleep normally?
Like, what's that like?
But let me ask you a question. Yeah. Would you do that? Because I don't think you would. I don't have OCD, and it just makes sense that your stuff is on one side.
Yeah, you have your side.
Yeah, and it's just always that way.
I guess I'm just imagining myself on the wrong side, just with both hands in my mouth, biting my fingernails for an entire 8 hours.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Being like, when will it turn fun? And so I just read it and was like, that must feel good.
I did have issues with a gentleman that I dated for quite some time because my side is near the door. And he was like, no, my side should be near the door. I'm the protector. If someone comes in,
I should be
there. And I'm like, I'm a peer, so I need to get up and tinkle. I don't want to have to walk around the whole bed.
But which trumps which? I mean, it seems like security is the most important part of that, especially for you.
You want me to pee on you?
No, I don't. Not sure how that got turned around, but...
Well, it's an extra walk to go around.
I mean, it's four steps.
Yeah, listen, I've got short legs.
I think Danielle picked the side closest to the door because she can run out faster.
Oh, okay.
I see.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
But I think that's why she selected it.
Interesting.
You can run out faster.
That might be another topic, though. Like, who picks the side by the door and why?
That's
because he was convinced. He's like, no, this makes perfect sense. I'm a man. I'll protect you. And I'm like, listen, if someone's coming in, we're both dead. Let's just decide that right
has
now.
No hope whatsoever.
No
about
hope whatsoever.
Being able to fight someone off.
So let me just be by the door so I can tinkle faster.
Yeah, before I got married, a lot of the women I dated, I was more nervous of a murder-suicide.
What's
what I mean?
Wrong with
What's
both of you?
What's happening
I mean,
right
honestly,
now with Jensen?
Who thinks about that?
That took a real weird turn.
Who thinks about that kind of stuff?
Well, I slept in another room.
Lumineers fan number one, you guys.
Yeah.
Comedian, actor, writer, the machine himself, Bert Kreischer, in studio with us here on the Kevin Show.
I belong to you. You belong to me.
See?
I don't know the rest.
I knew you were out right there.
That's a kind of drinking late night song where you get back from the store and you're in your man cave and you hear it and you're like, dude, I miss my friends from college. I'm going to see what they're up to. Bro, you're in jail for weed? What's up?
Did you tell our producer, Dave, while you were in the green room before you came in, that you think you could climb Mount Everest?
Bro, definitely confident I could climb Mount Everest.
Okay, what? But you were joking, or do you honestly think so?
I could definitely climb Mount Everest.
You could.
You're talking to the man that ran the LA Marathon with no training, drinking the night before in 5 hours and 33 minutes. I can climb Mount Everest. I can do whatever Mandy Moore does 10 times better.
You know what? I believe it. Dude, I really do.
All it takes is one foot in front of the other foot. A little acclimation. You get into that little deprivation tank they got over at Crunch on Santa Monica. You should see Dave Navarro in it all the time. Get in there, do the elliptical in there. You know?
Okay.
Easy peasy.
Done. Easy peasy, you guys.
Mm-hmm. It is well known that any person can train to climb Mount Everest in about 7 to 10 days. It's well known.
100%. Dude, look at all the traffic jams. How many people have died? The fact that people are dying means I'm definitely within the skill set to get it.
Because they're dying, you go, I could die.
Bro, those are like 56-year-old women. They're just like going through a divorce. The Latino guy didn't do it for them. And they're like, you know, I need something else. I got to prove to him I'm better. I need something for my Instagram. Dude. I'm telling you, I could definitely climb. I could easily get base camp. Oh, bro, I could get base camp in a day. I don't even need to acclimate for. I could throw the best base camp party. That's my goal. I want to throw base camp parties. So when people are coming down, they're like, that was insane. I'm like, good. Have a margarita.
How about this right here?
You heard about the part where it's 150 degrees below zero, right, Bert?
Dude, anything below 32, same.
No.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Here's the thing about that. 100%. No.
You can't.
30 and 150 below.
I don't think it's same.
A bit different.
Same.
No, okay.
Have you ever been in negative, like, 20 degrees?
Yes.
Yeah, easy peasy.
No, okay. No, not easy peasy.
It's the opposite of easy peasy.
It's all it is layering. That's all you got to do, layer.
Okay.
Layer. Some great tips,
dude,
this morning.
By the way, this is how my brain convinces me to do everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you guys are society telling me I can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right. All you got to do is layer, man. Two pairs of socks.
And then that makes you want to do it more, I assume. Two pairs of socks.
Same.
Good, you get some good gloves, like some North Face gloves.
Sure.
Okay, you've thought this through now, dude, I see.
This is me. Yeah, you got, okay. Nice player under like a base layer.
You're just making all this up, dude. Yeah. You're
like not thermal underwear.
You're not going to do it.
What you got to really worry about?
Real, says the guy who hasn't ever done it.
A real Bear Grylls over here.
Oh yeah, you sound good. Yeah,
like you're ready.
You're packing up a lot.
That's pretty strong.
Dude, get on that plane in Nepal.
As long as you have money to hire like four Sherpas to carry you up, you're good.
I will be riding deep like MC Hammer with Sherpas. I will have so many Sherpas. They're like, bro, you only need two. I'm like, I got 12.
I need them to get the line out of the way, knock people over.
Like Jesus carried the cross. They're carrying me like the crucifix up to the top of Mount Saint Helens.
It's pretty much the same thing, yeah.
Dude, Bert, that thing in you that makes you fight back on whatever they... What's the dumbest thing you've ever done?
Oh, my God. How much time do we have?
Just because people said you couldn't or wouldn't do it and you had to prove them wrong.
Easily was the marathon. Oh, my God. That was the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. I really messed my body up.
Who prompted you to do that? How did you get shamed into that?
It wasn't shamed. It was Rogan, Ari, and Tommy.
Bean, I assume it doesn't take much. Just somebody goes, hey, marathon.
Yeah, I can do that. You just got a layer.
All you have to do is tell me I can't do something, and immediately I'm
like, they offered a bunch of reasons why there's no way you could ever do a marathon because you weren't a runner, right?
Right. They were like, you run on treadmills. That's not real running. They're like, you're not in shape. You cannot do it. These marathons are for elite athletes. And I was like, first of all, I've been around enough people that say they did marathons. I was like, I got this easy. They're like, you definitely can't do it faster than Ari's dad. Ari's dad was in the Holocaust. Like he's like,
that makes him a good runner.
I thought for a minute he wasn't going to be good, but you said he was in the Holocaust, and I'm like, oh, he definitely ran away from people.
No. I didn't mean that like that. I meant age wise. Like he's that old.
Oh, he's that old. Okay.
Comment. That was a horrible way to reference.
It was a weird reference. Yeah.
This guy was alive when they only had two water fountains. Jesus, what is wrong with me?
A lot.
Yeah.
Did you practice for the marathon?
My daughters are older than the Me Too movement. Keep going.
Did you practice for the marathon? Did you run? Nothing.
No.
Nothing?
No.
Nothing.
Dude, I was so... You can find this video. I am at the starting line bragging that I didn't practice. Like going, I didn't train
at
all.
You're that guy.
And people are like, dude, there's no way... I've trained for 7 months. I'm in a running group. And I was like, yeah. And you also look like you. This is the biggest thing you'll ever do in your life. In my head, I was like, dude, I got this.
This is just one day in Bert Kreischer's life. Now, did your shoes fall apart because they were wrong? Did your nipples bleed?
Nope. I lubed up.
Did you poop yourself?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yes. That's the Bert we know.
On San Vicente.
I don't know why I'm cheering that.
No, but that was just driving down to the starting line, Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Dude, that's the hardest part of beginning a marathon is like, is poop
parking?
Management.
Oh, poop management.
Because you're just going like, I need to get everything out before this starts.
Sure.
Because
you
watch the marathon start, and then running down the street, people just literally in the first mile pull off to go to the bathroom.
First mile
right by Dodger Stadium. People were pulling off to go to the bathroom. I was like, rookie move. I've never even done one of these, and I know this is a bad idea.
What was your time?
5 hours and 33 minutes.
That's exceptional.
That's really good.
No, it's exceptional.
Considering Oprah did it in 5 hours, not really.
Oprah
but
probably trained a day
I'm
or
sure
two.
She definitely trained. Yeah. When I was on Sepulveda. I was running on Sepulveda. That's like at mile 20. I don't even like driving down Sepulveda. I'm running down Sepulveda, and that's when the only time when I went, this is your body just goes, I can't do it. My calves seized up and my quad seized up.
Both legs.
And I went, whoa. Like, immediately, and I looked around, people were falling off like the Walking Dead, like just on the ground, stretching out, and the woman in front of me, I've been jogging behind her, was like a grown-up, like an executive.
Okay.
And she messed herself, and I watched it happen, and I was like, oh, this is like, you know what it reminded me? I watched my dad cry one time. And I felt like as soon as he cried, I go, there's no God. There's no safety in this. We don't get out of this alive. This is going to be bad.
And how did you find the strength to keep going when your legs failed you?
There's a kid out there. I hope that I hope he hears this. He is probably like cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
And him and his dad is just like this regular. They had the cart, but they didn't use it. The kid ran the damn thing.
No!
And he beat me. And the dad was just like, dude, I'm talking like regular Dodgers Mexican guy. Like, not like a...
So, you know, a Los Angeles, you know.
Like, yeah, like a, Los yeah. Like a regular guy you see at a Dodgers game eating a hot dog, not in great shape. And his dad was running with him. And I kept running pace with this guy. And this guy was, like, so inspiring that I was like, dude, I And also, you're like, your ego goes, I can't get beat by that guy.
Right. But you tripped him at the end, though, right before you...
And an Asian kid, you know who else beat me? An Asian kid dressed as Big Bird carrying a tuba. And I've always said I could beat any Asian in a foot race. And this kid destroyed...
With a tuba!
Yeah, I got beat by a lot of ham and eggs.
Bert, you are amazing. Bert Kreischer is here. By the way, you have a chance to see him in Las Vegas this weekend.
If the Mirage.
At the Mirage on Saturday night. Then he's off to Australia. But he is back in Southern California with a second show just added at the theater at the Ace Hotel. The first one sold out at 7 p.m. on Friday, September the 13th. But tickets are now available for a new show just announced 9:30 p.m. September 13th. You want to get those tickets at AXS.com. Quick break with Bert, and we'll be right back on K-Rock. AXS.com or BertBertBert.com to get your tickets for the new show just added at the Ace Hotel Theater there, 9:30 p.m. on Friday, September 13th. Get your tickets to see the great Bert Kreischer. Bert, last night you were at the Comedy Store.
Yes.
With everyone in comedy, right? Mark Maron was there. Chelsea Peretti was there. Joey Diaz was there. David Spade, Sarah Tiana, Ron White, Brad Williams, Ian Edwards, and it goes on and on and on. How does that happen? And do you guys each get like 45 seconds on stage when you got that many people standing around?
No. We each do 15 minutes and bring each other up tag team style. I got to be honest with you. I look at some of those shows and I go, that's like a $20,000 ticket.
Yeah. For sure.
I mean, and I'm blessed to be on there at all. Like, I look at that and I'm like, as a fan of comic, I'm like, oh my God. I followed Joey last night and he was destructive. I mean, just Joey Diaz, there might be no funnier human being.
He is like your favorite comedian's comedian.
Dude. Yeah. Did you go to another comedian and go, what, you want to go up next?
No. You want to follow Joey.
Okay.
Because it's like, you know. It's like if you fail after Joey, everyone's like, well, yeah, you had to follow Joey.
Oh, so you get a pass. Nice. I got you.
But if you fail after Brad Williams, I mean, come on, guys. I was drinking with Brad last night, watching him hop from stool to stool. Did you ever see him fall out of the stool on my cooking show?
No, I didn't.
It's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Brad Williams, hammered, is in a stool and just reaches for something and falls 3 feet onto the ground. It is the funniest thing.
Was that the time he was on with Adam Ray? You guys.
Oh yeah. All right. I got to tell you this Joey Diaz story. This is my favorite. Okay. This is my favorite story about Joey. And I have a lot of great Joey Diaz stories. Mm-hmm. Joey Diaz one Easter morning slipped my dad edible marijuana. That's not the story I'm about
nice.
To tell you.
Okay. That's not as good as the one you're going to tell.
It's just the way Joey delivers lines can kill you sometimes. So my dad is flying from L.A. to Tampa to L.A. and he texts me and he says, "Pick me up at the airport. By the way, Joey Diaz is on my flight." And I go, "Listen, don't eat whatever he gives you." So my dad lands in LAX, and I see him coming down the escalator for Delta, and he's just shaking his head. And I go, what's the matter? And he goes, oh, I tried to switch seats. The idiot's sitting next to me, so I could sit next to Joey, and he wouldn't switch. He goes, ugh, oh, what an idiot. Bert, this guy just played Candy Crush for the entire flight. And I went, really? And he goes, my dad doesn't respect that. He goes, he didn't open a magazine, didn't open a newspaper. This is a grown man sitting in first class, and he played Candy Crush. What kind of a grown man plays Candy Crush for an entire flight? Doesn't read a magazine, doesn't look at the, doesn't, just really. And I see Joey coming down the escalator, and he is laughing ear to ear. And I go, Joey, what's up? And he goes, dog, your dad was sitting next to John Cena. Two people behind Joey Diaz is John Cena playing Candy Crush. I swear to God.
That's
the
awesome.
Whole flight. The whole flight. And my dad doesn't know who John Cena is. But you know, Joey was looking at him going, he's sitting next to John Cena. Hey, what's a big owl rolling his eyes at John Cena for?
That's amazing.
Oh, dude.
Oh, I love it.
Joey's the best.
Amazing. As much as you fly, do you ever sit next to famous people, Bert?
Dude, I sat next to this guy one time, and he goes, so what do you do? I said, I'm a comedian, and he's like, oh, cool. And so we talked the whole thing, and I'm just bragging about me being an amazing comedian. And so we get to land, and I said, what do you do? At the very end of the flight, like, I've talked to him the whole thing about me. I said, what do you do? He goes, well, I actually write comedy, too. And I was like, oh, cool. I said, you got to check out one of my videos. He goes, I'd love to. I said, here, give me your phone. So I pull it up, and I go, this is my most famous story. It was a while ago. This is when it was animated. It was the Machine story, but it was animated. They made it look like South Park. It made it look like South Park animated.
Awesome.
And he was like, oh, wow, this looks like South Park. And I was like, yeah. And I lied. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I think those guys are big fans.
Oh, no.
I know, by the way, I know I lied because I know that it's just some guy online that just copied their animation.
Right, exactly.
And the guy goes, are you a fan of South Park? I said, oh, yeah. And he was like, cool, thanks. And I went, huh? I had been sitting next to one of the South Park guys the whole time.
Oh. Matt Stone or Trey Parker?
I have no idea. I don't know which one's
which. Awesome.
Oh, no.
The guy with the curly hair.
That's awesome.
I didn't even know who I was sitting next to.
No.
And I'm giving him my video. Dude, I am an idiot. And I geek out. If I see a celebrity, I can't help it. I ran into Tom Cruise one time. We were at a premiere for Magnolia. Remember Magnolia had the... His hair was like long. I'm telling a story, and everyone's excited, and I'm backing up a little bit, and I bump into someone. I turn around, and it's Tom Cruise. And his hair is still like it was in Magnolia. And I just got caught off guard, and I looked at him, I go, you have beautiful hair. And he just looks at me, he goes, thanks, and walked away. Dude, I am horrible. And it doesn't even need to be like a big celebrity. I don't know, what's the girl, Dakota Fanning?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Was that one of my shows one time? I don't even know who she is. I don't even know what movie she's been in.
She's 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
She's
no, that's Dakota Johnson.
That's Dakota Johnson.
Oh, sorry, Dakota Fanning. Sorry.
Fanning was a child actress who's grown up and in a bunch of stuff. Yeah,
okay.
The second I found out it was her, I didn't even know who she was. She was like, "Hey, great show." I was like, "Oh, cool." Like, I'm married. I have no interest in talking to a woman after a show. Get me to the bar, drive me blackout drunk, put me in an Uber. And then someone's like, I can't believe Dakota Fanning was at your show. Immediately, I lose all composure. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm such a huge fan. I loved you in the thing that you did when you were a baby.
Know.
Let me get us a private room, and we'll all hang out. And then I go to get us a private room at the Improv, and she's gone. And I was like, where did Dakota Fanning go? I hate that about myself. Dude, my daughter's won the softball championship. And the kid that hit the home run, I'm like waiting outside the dugout like a fan to be like, Nicole, great hit, Nicole.
What's wrong with you?
Dude, I have no idea. That's why I do meet and greets, because I know what it's like to want to say hi to a celebrity.
Right.
I totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole.
Who's your number one dream celebrity to meet?
Oh, my God. Where do we start?
There has to be one, though.
Like, okay.
Jensen, who's yours to get us started? There has to be somebody that you adore in your rap world or somewhere, right?
I would be very excited... It's a good question. I would be very excited to meet like a Martin Scorsese or like a Spielberg, like someone whose movies I've watched forever.
I want to eat soup with Mel Brooks.
That's a good one.
Jesus, you guys are boring.
I like it. She came with soup, though. Yeah, that's quite a plan.
Yeah.
What would be yours?
Okay, well, I have two. I have one that I run into and they fall off the wagon with me. That's Ben Affleck.
And great.
Oh, yeah.
I like that story
ends in disaster for both of you.
Like life-changing.
It ends with him sprinting out of the front door of my house at 3 a.m. going, your wife's awake, start the car.
You would have ruined Batman. All right?
Dude, I love Ben Affleck, but I want, like, I mean, and I look, I'm happy for sobriety, but like, I would love to party with that guy. But hardcore, one celebrity that could have come up to me and go, dude, big fan, mm-hmm. we should get together, hang out, have a beer? Without a doubt, Brad Pitt.
Is that right?
Oh, my God. And in kind of in a gay way.
Because like, doppelganger.
Oh, yeah. Same. Yeah.
By the way, you've picked two Hollywood hunks.
Yeah.
Go back to the kind of in a gay way.
Whoa, yeah. Wait, what did I pick?
Go back to the kind of in a gay way.
There are men in Hollywood where if they, I'm not saying like tried to kiss you, but if they got you into some gay stuff, you just wouldn't say no. Like if The Rock pulled up in on a motorcycle, right? Mm-hmm. Flipped his helmet up and was like, hey, man, come over to my house. We're going swimming later. You'd be like, okay. And then you just get there. It's you and The Rock going swimming in the pool. And you're like, wait, what is this? He's like, we're going to play Marco Polo. Close your eyes. And you're like,
This is very specific.
Yeah.
That's quite a story. Bert's given it a lot of thought.
No, Bert's lived it is what happened.
Dude, The Rock could get you to do stuff you would never do. Never do. He's like, bro, me and you, we're going hard in the gym. I'd be like, okay. Cool, I guess we're doing squats. I've never wanted to do these in my entire life. I'll be wearing a chain around my neck for the next week. Dude, the rocks
are the
ones.
Why is there not a camera on you full time? Like one of those bald eagle cams. Seriously, we should be allowed to watch you all the time.
Dude, I'll tell you right now. Give me full access to every celebrity. Like, give me, like, the Tonight Show, but I wouldn't do it like the Tonight Show. I just travel out to wherever they were and just hang out with them for
just
a day.
Hang out.
Celebrity sleepover. Like, that's what it's called.
I go to your house
and I spend the night, and I just wake up, and we just do whatever you do. Oh, Keanu Reeves? Who doesn't want to be on the back of his motorcycle holding on tight? Just going down the 405 at 4 in the morning, and Keanu going, let me tell you the original idea for The Matrix. And you're like, shut up. Do you really give money to sick children? He's like, of course I do.
By the way.
This is going to be the greatest summer ever, Bert. You're like, I love you, Keanu.
He picked another Hollywood hunk.
And once again, Hollywood hunk.
I mean, you've got Bert, a type. It's okay.
There's a lot of guys I get a text from in the middle of the night, and I get up and I go. Justin Bert Bieber, Kreischer. Let's go to church tomorrow. I'm in.
All right. We are unfortunately out of time. Bert is bringing his Body Shots World Tour to the Theater at the Ace Hotel on September 13th. Yes, you will never have a better time at his show than at Bert Kreischer. Buy those tickets now. Again, September 13th. Allie, do we have time for 60 seconds?
Sure.
Bert is here. Allie's going to fire 60 seconds worth of questions at you. First thing that comes to your mind, please. Here it is.
Oh, wow.
60 seconds with Bert Kreischer.
How long was the worst hangover you've ever had?
2 days.
Any hangover cures?
Xanax.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes, it is entirely.
Do you have a favorite kid?
Yeah.
Which one?
I knew it.
My friend's son, Carter. Okay.
Do you think it's weird that Tarzan has no beard?
Yeah, I never thought about that. You know, maybe he's part Asian.
Okay. Did you have a nickname growing up?
Mm-hmm. Nature Boy and Birdie Boy and Bebopper.
Bebopper.
I have a lot of nicknames.
Yeah, you do. Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
Open mouth, yes.
Would you rather stop, drop, shut him down, or open up shop?
Shut him down.
Okay. What was your first job?
Being a runner for my dad's law firm. Ooh, white privilege.
If you could choose, how would you die?
Oh, in the tank at SeaWorld.
I'm not sure how that would work exactly.
Just leave a scar for everyone. I don't see anything at the end of the tunnel. I'm tasting my own blood. There's nothing waiting for us at the end of this tunnel.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for one of the things I love about having Jensen on the program is he introduces us to new things all the time. He has a weekly feature called Get Up On This that he does on Thursdays. But throughout the week, he'll say, hey, have you guys heard about it? And it's usually no. And oftentimes it's magic. And I'm feeling a little magic today.
Well, I hope not to let you down. His name is David Burke, but he's best known as Slang Man.
That's a great name, first of all.
It's a nickname I'm estimating is 55 years old. It's a white man who gave this to himself in the same way that I would just call myself like the buffest dude around or like Mr. Perfect Radio Voice. I found Slang Man during a local interview he did with KCAL9 here in LA 3 days ago where the subject was supposed to be decoding your teen's text messages. So this was supposed to be for parents who are nervous about what their kids are texting.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Something to keep in mind as you hear it. Now, Slingman is an expert because, as his website shows, he sells textbooks, probably like 15 different ones, videos, manuals, all to teach people slang. In his bio, he brags that he supplied materials to Berlitz, UCLA, NYU, Boston University.
What? So he has credentials.
Yeah, an audience of 250 million with 120 countries. So that seems like an expert, right?
Sure.
So let's get into the segment that I saw on KCAL right now. You tell me if this is the Slang Man or if it's just Fred Armisen doing a character. let's hear his origin story as to how he became the Slang Man.
Tell us first, though, what got you started writing these books about slang?
Well, I was at the gym with a French friend of mine working out, and someone came up to him. His name is Pascal. Uh-huh. And his friend said, "So, Pascal, what's up?" And Pascal takes a step back and starts checking out the ceiling.
Oh.
I said, no, that's just slang. And so to make things worse, his friend said, "So Pascal, did you hear how the Italian soccer team licked the French team?"
Oh.
And when his mouth dropped open, I thought, gee, what an interesting visual he must have just had.
Yes.
So I thought, there's a book.
Okay. Slang man, none of that happened.
That never
none
happened.
Of it.
None of that
that's
happened.
No.
Oh, my, what's up? The guy looked at the ceiling? No.
What year was it?
Come up with a better story.
Was it the 20s?
The only thing that did happen is that Fred Armisen created a new character. That's awesome.
I can't believe this is a real thing. Okay. So where does he get his slang? What is his process?
Yeah.
So what happens is through Twitter, mm-hmm. teens tweet me.
Oh.
And yesterday, I was at a party.
Uh-huh.
There were 7 teens there. So I asked them a question. I'm going to call it physical slang. I asked them, okay, how do you guys shake hands? So, do you know about the typical teen handshake?
Yeah. It's always like kind of one of these.
This,
yeah.
And then you slide. You also slide back, and then you fist pump again.
Yeah. What is going on here?
Okay.
He's at a party with a bunch of teens.
No, seven.
It's very specific about the number, though.
None of them asked if he was a narc?
No. Hello, fellow kids. Okay.
Hey, kids, how do you shake?
Here's the other thing. The shake that he does do with her is just the normal handshake, slide back, fist bump. I mean, that's been around since like the 60s.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. This isn't modern slang or physical slang. So Amy starts to bring him, the interviewer, starts to bring him back into the topic, which is modern day texting. But out of nowhere, he starts quizzing.
So first, something from the 70s. Just to kind of loosen up those slang muscles.
Okay.
All right, so from the 70s, what does it mean if a teen from the 70s tells you something and then says, psych?
That means they're kidding.
They're kidding.
Yes.
You win. Okay.
All right. Yeah. What about
psych? That was tough.
I mean, again, he was brought on as a modern day slang expert.
He just told us what psych meant.
And he's so excited. For those who visually need to know what he looks like, he looks a lot like Mike Myers.
Tell me how old again?
About 55.
Wow. Could it be Mike Myers in another one of his crazy
costumes? The Gong Show?
Yeah.
Okay, here's another one. And again, supposed to be talking about modern day. This is from the 80s, proving that Slang Man truly is on the pulse.
If a teen says to you, from the 80s and even today, you're fat, have you been insulted or complimented?
Complimented.
You've been complimented, right. But if somebody from 20 and up says you're fat,
That's not so good.
He's wrong.
He is wrong.
He's wrong because he even says people that are 20 and up call you fat. That's bad. No, fat is from like Russell Simmons' Fat Farm and like LL Cool J. Like that's a different era. Like no one says fat, dude.
I love this guy.
Oh,
now.
No,
I'm turning on him because he's the best.
Slang Man's the greatest.
Right.
Now, Amy, who's clearly wondering what went wrong with the pre-interview, starts pushing him towards modern slang, and it's just nuts.
Okay, what does it mean if your teen says, "I'm going to put on my jams"? Not my jammies. I'm going to put on my jams.
No, this
music.
Isn't real.
Music. Very good.
Not real.
I wonder if everybody else out there got that.
I hope they did.
Okay, now Amy's starting.
I hope everybody got that. Because
she's starting to turn.
Because
she's realizing this interview is very bad. Or she's being punked. Because
I would think so, too. I would think it would be somebody punking me because he's so awful.
He's so also I love that he is on the pulse of things, but he was like jams, not jammies. Like jammies was for sure the thing that first came to mind for her. Okay. another example of modern, and I swear to God, I have done 20 to 30 minutes of research. This slang term does not exist.
If your teen says Nancy is rashing me, does that mean A, call a dermatologist, B, wear gloves when giving Nancy a hug, or tell her to stop it?
I'm going to say, tell her to say, she's on you.
Yes. Why are you rashing me?
Yeah. Oh. I haven't heard that one.
No.
You're good.
Not a real term.
It doesn't exist.
I've looked it up on Urban Dictionary. I've looked everywhere. That's not a true thing.
Slang. So now he's making up words.
He's making up words.
All right.
She finally gets him over to texting, and he gives an example of what to watch out for, and I need you to listen closely.
Is there anything bad that we need to really be looking out for? Like a slang that could mean something bad that we need to be looking out for?
I would say in texting, L-M-I-R-K. Let's meet in real life.
Wait, what?
Play it again.
That's not a K.
Play it again.
Wait.
Start it back. Yes.
They want to keep us confused.
No, that's a different... Okay. Yeah, play it again. I need you to hear it again.
All right, that's fine.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Mean something bad that we need to be looking out for.
I would say in texting, L-M-I-R-K. Let's meet in real life.
Real kife.
A slang man.
He is rashing us, you guys.
He's completely rashing us. So I guess we are we with slang man?
I'm way in on slang man.
All right.
Because he's the worst.
Let's leave with a quick final word he has about teens and his role in slang.
Yeah,
they want to keep us confused.
I think they enjoy it.
Where I come in.